Okay, the other night, Megan and I are, it's Monday night, and it's about 1 o'clock. Megan and I are sleeping, and all of a sudden we hear boom, 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 boom. I'm like, what the hell is that? Boom, 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 boom. Is that Bella in her crate, like, scratching herself with her hind leg, banging the bottom of the crate? And Megan shoots up. She's like, that's the front door. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We live in the fucking suburbs. Oh my God. Like, yeah. This is not right. So the first thing in my mind is, this is a fucking home invasion. Like, we need to, like, protect ourselves. So Megan's about to call the cops, and I have a bat under the bed just in case this stuff happens. Mm-hmm. And I have one of those college Chrome bats. So I pick it up, nice. And I'm running out there, and I'm like, I don't see anything, but something was knocking on our door.
Yeah.
And so Megan was freaked out, and we went to bed. I was like, look, let's set the alarm. We're going to be all right. And I was going to bed, and I couldn't go to sleep, and then I realized what the fuck it was.
What?
It was Jeff's boner beating on the door because God of War just came out, so like it was just beating around everywhere.
Nice.
I figured that's what it was.
It's time for me to walk.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 121. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Hey!
And Jeff Torney.
What up?
And we have quite a show for you today, because I know we're going to be talking about some pretty recent games that all three of us are playing. It's going to be fun stuff. Later on, we're going to be talking about the difference between homage and plagiarism, and then we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before that, we're going to get into what Travis has been up to this week. Travis, what's going on, man?
Not much, dude. After 8 grueling months of waiting around after we got this new house to get our federal first-time home buyer tax credit, it finally came in.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And day one, I just went ahead and picked me up about close to $700 worth of oh-so-smexy podcasting equipment. So hopefully, I got
we've
the hook
ruined
up.
You.
I've we got, have oh, ruined yeah. you.
And Megan, we forgot to tell you, Travis. You haven't really been working out for us.
We got someone else.
Do they want to buy some equipment?
Correct. So anyway,
that's it, man. Like, it's been nothing but work, and we got the tax credit, and I went out and went nuts yesterday and today, just getting all this cool stuff. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah. So that's all that's happening for me, man.
Cool. Jeff, yeah. What's up, man?
Good stuff. A whole lot of nothing. March Madness started today, though. I know,
Chris,
you probably don't care. No, I guess Travis doesn't either, but... yeah, I'm like, that shit is awesome. Basketball all the time. I never join any pools though, or enter any pools, because I get too obsessive over this kind of stuff. After the first couple I did, I end up like checking the scores every like 5 minutes, and like, I need to find a computer if I'm like at the mall. It's ridiculous. So
you know, I never really got into college basketball or regular basketball
really,
for that matter. But I did actually get into a March Madness pool once, and I ended up winning like $20. I didn't know anything about it. I was like, oh, I'll just pick this and this and this. Every once in a while, I throw an upset in, and I ended up winning like $20.
Nice.
Pretty good. Yeah, college basketball here is pretty damn huge. People would be kind of surprised, actually. It's everyone and the grandmother. I mean, even Tanya, she's in a pool or two, her parents.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts.
It's actually pretty big here, too. And college sports in general are pretty big
oh,
here.
Oh, God, yeah. Even high school sports in some states are freaking huge, which is weird.
It's unusual too, because like the big football team here is UGA, right? University of Georgia.
I guess.
The big basketball team here is actually Georgia Tech. Cause if I remember correctly, I think they're better. And
guess who went to Georgia Tech?
Who went to Georgia Tech?
Chris Bosh.
Who?
Do you know who Chris? Okay.
No.
Is he a hockey player?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh no!
He played for your basketball team.
No, he won a silver in curling. Right?
That's right.
That's who it is. Awesome athlete. Let me tell you.
Never seen someone sweep
ice
like that.
Basketball players in the NBA. Jerks. And he plays for the Raptors. Jerks. Anyway, that's all that I've been interested in this week, next to some games that we'll talk about later. What have you been up to, Chris, besides not watching fun stuff and not knowing who Chris Bosch is?
Well, my wife is still pregnant, and that's pretty much it. We're just waiting. It's getting... It's nerve-wracking right now because we're ready. So, and Crystal actually had a false alarm earlier this week. On Tuesday, she thought she was
gas instead.
No, she was having real contractions that were about 20 minutes apart, but they stopped. So it was like, okay, well, guess it's not happening today. But yeah, and that's it for me. It's been a pretty uneventful week. Lots of changes at work that are boring. I'm not going to get into that.
All right.
Because I want to get into some stuff that is really cool to talk about, which is gaming.
I haven't been playing anything cool.
Well, then let's talk to Travis first. Travis, what have you been playing this week?
Oh, man, I'm playing some awesome stuff. Stuff that I love. Stuff that I've been waiting for a long time. And when I play it, it delivers and it delivers and it does nothing but deliver. I'm joking. I'm playing Final Fantasy 13. And I really... You know... Like I touched on last week, I said to myself, you know, I hear what people are criticizing about this game, and I can deal with it because it's supposed to be very similar to 10, and it starts off with that mentality. Yeah, it is kind of like 10, but it is not grabbing me, and I'm about 12 hours in. And
oh, wow, so you're further than I am.
I'm downright just disliking it. More and more and more, and it's sad. It really depresses me and everything like that. And it's actually kind of a little emotional, if I can say that. Can I keep it real for you guys? Can I?
Yeah, totally.
Can I drop a little bomb on you?
It's okay to cry, Travis.
I'm gonna keep my composure because I am a grown ass man. But
grown ass man.
I didn't know how I felt last week. Like, I was enjoying myself, but when I'm at this point, 12 hours in, and I'm not enjoying myself, it makes me feel a little... I don't know. I feel like I got, like, mule kicked in the balls by a chocobo.
Okay. And then, mule kicked in the balls by a chocobo.
Yeah, and then, like, I don't know, like, the GameStop employee that, like, I bought the game from, like, he converted that $60 into, like, a sock full of quarters and, like, beat me over the head with it constantly.
But at least use a paradigm system while doing it.
Right. And then I guess like after it was over, like Hironobu Sakaguchi like laughs at me in my face because I'm playing this, but I didn't finish Lost Odyssey.
Yeah, he's probably laughing somewhere. Like I said, he's got to be. Like I mean, Lost Odyssey got criticized up the ass, and then he must have a big smile on his face to see that this is one of the worst reviewed Final Fantasy games in a long time.
Yeah, and just my heart hurts. That's how I feel. I just feel beaten down. You know, it's just, I just can't explain. I'm going to let you guys just talk the rest about it because I think, you know, you guys are a little more optimistic about the game than I am, but it's just, I'm at the point now where I'm ready to stop playing. Like, you know, the next game we're of course going to talk about, God of War. I was so happy that God of War, like at first I was worried that, okay, Final Fantasy is coming out, then God of War the next week. How am I going to play these games?
How am I gonna
it was not a tough decision. I'm like, thank God I can take a break from this fucking game. And even my love for Final Fantasy 13, because I thought, okay, even if it's not a great game, my love for Final Fantasy is going to have me continue. And I'm really struggling with that. I mean, I loved, like as much as people hate on 12, I love 12.
Mm-hmm.
And because I saw through the flaws and I enjoyed myself, and I just can't do that with this game.
Well, that's the thing. The people complain about stuff with 12, and I'm with you. I didn't beat 12 by any means. I don't even think I got halfway through. I probably got about like 30 hours. But from what I played, I really liked it. And I've said a million times, except for the license system, I probably would have beaten it. That's the only thing I really, really did not like. And people seem to criticize that game for some flaws here or there, whether it's the license system, whether or not the gambit system. People didn't, I know like Chris didn't like that, the fact that you can basically put it on autoplay for you or whatever. And I mean, 13 has the same thing, but at least people with 12 weren't saying you have to play the game for 25 hours before it gets good. And that's the big thing, my issue. Like, I am enjoying the game to some extent right now. I'm definitely enjoying it more now than I did in like the first 7 hours. I think I'm about 10 hours in, so I'm right behind you, I guess. But I'm enjoying it, but at this point, it is definitely my least the Final Fantasy game I've enjoyed the least up to this point, like,
by far. And real quick before, you know, Chris adds his two cents, I'm not going to speak for you, Jeff, but if you want to agree, you can agree. But at this point in the game, I retract every douchey thing that I said to Chris about White Knight Chronicles. That's my official statement, dude. Like, if we were being a douche last week, I mean, we were all fucking around busting balls. But if I was a douche last week, dude, I am sorry, because I am going through the same exact thing with this game, and it is not fun. It really isn't.
Chris actually has fun with White Knight. That's right, I do. Yeah.
And
well, I'll throw my two cents in then too, because I did get it on Saturday, and I've only gotten up to about chapter 4. All right, so I'll be honest with you. I played it over the weekend. I played it on Monday. I haven't touched it since Monday because, well, God of War. Mm-hmm. I am not. I'm not going to hate on it nearly as much as you guys are, but God damn if the level design is not fucking stupid. I mean, come on. I understand a game being linear, but you don't have to actually.
But all Final
like,
Fantasy games are linear, though, Chris.
You don't have to get a. A lot of Final Fantasy games are linear to an extent, but these guys pick up a fucking branding iron and stick it to your forehead and say, this is a linear game. It's, look at this map. It's a straight line. Oh, look, there's a little, like, left turn there that leads to a dead end about 10 feet from the where it leads off. It's like, okay, great. Yeah. So there's an item down there. I'll go get the item and then I'll get back on the straight line. It drives me nuts. And it's like, I look forward to the small, like, open areas that they have. Every once in a while, you get this little, like, room that you go into that's more of a maze than it is a straight line. And it's like, hooray, you know? I don't know what they were thinking with some of this level design. It's like, I understand that they want to hold your hand through half the fucking game, but, you know, at least make it more interesting. I mean, honestly, that's really the only issue I have with it so far, besides the fact that, holy crap, if Vanille isn't the most annoying character in a Final Fantasy ever.
She does get better. Holy crap. She's a little better. Kinda.
Exactly. And it was funny too, because, you know, I hadn't
played it. Is
that
Hope or Vanille impression? Which one?
I hadn't played it last week, but, you know, I started playing it over the weekend. And then I listened. So after I started playing, I listened to the podcast again that we recorded last week. And I was listening to what Jeff was saying, and he was talking about like the pointless sighing, like, and I was like, dude, Jeff, you are so fucking right, dude. It's annoying as hell. And I am sorry. All you people out there that are dissing on White Knight Chronicles, Vanille and Hope, they are worse than every character in White Knight Chronicles combined. The worst. And I have my review is going to go up for White Knight Chronicles soon. Mm-hmm. All right. And in the very beginning, it says the characters have no character. All right. That's the way it is in White Knight Chronicles. They are worse. Vanille and Hope, I would rather them die. Seriously. The only reason I keep Vanille around is because she's my fucking medic. That's the only reason I keep her. Because
you have to.
Well, yeah. I have not put Hope in my battle party at all. He has not even entered.
Well, and the only reason he's... You have no choice.
I'm about to start chapter 4 and I have no choice but to use him. So he's got like, he's got like 800, you know, 800 CP that hasn't been used yet. Just because I haven't touched him. But
That's going to happen a lot. You're going to have a lot of characters that have like, I went back to fucking, what's his face after the longest time? Snow? Did I ever go to, I can't remember. Yeah. And he had like a crazy amount
too.
Of CP.
Good God.
But yeah, I'm still giving it a chance. I'm still trying to play it when I can. I mean, on Tuesday night, I did actually manage to get away from God of War for a bit and play it for about an hour and a half. But I haven't played it since then.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still, I don't know. I have hope that it is going to get better, but I just don't. I can see how people are liking it. But I don't agree with the reasoning behind why people stick up for it in the way that they are, just because it always comes down to this. Well, get to the 25th hour, get to chapter 10, get to chapter 10. Well, a game shouldn't take that long to hook somebody at all. It doesn't matter what kind of game it is. Any other game that did that would get beat down in the review score.
Mm-hmm. Like, if this wasn't a Final Fantasy title, if it didn't have Final Fantasy in it.
It would be
torn as shit. It probably
would. That's one of the things I've been saying from the beginning.
Yeah.
It really is. So,
and Battle system kind of carry? Like, are you going to like the battle system? And I love the battle system. I don't know if it's going to carry me through 40 hours. Or
Me, an RPG is more, I mean, I can stick with an RPG if the combat is good. And, Final Fantasy XIII's combat is good, in my opinion. And so because of that, I will be sticking to it. I'm leaning away from it right now because God of War's out and that's my focus right now. That's what I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I do plan on going back to Final Fantasy.
To it eventually. Yeah. You know, I'm just kind of upset.
It's the next thing in my queue. So
I made the statement of, what's it called? Of, this will be the first Final Fantasy game I beat, and I'm kind of kicking myself now because it had to be the one that least interests me so far.
Hey, you know what you could do? Go back and get Final Fantasy IV, aka Final Fantasy II. That only takes like 14 hours to beat. You could actually beat that game before this one gets interesting. How about that?
Nope. Well, Jeff, do you or Tanya have a DS?
Yeah, we both have DS.
Then get the remake of Final Fantasy IV. On the DS, it's really, really good. It's got like, it's 3D models, voice acting. It's really, really good.
And that's the one that was number two? Like, is that the one that they made brought to Game Boy Advance, but they just upgraded it to?
Yeah, two, and it was extra missions and everything. It's really cool. Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am really liking the combat system. I can't say any of the characters have grown on me yet. It's pretty bad that Lightning is my favorite character right now. And the only time she ever has a personality is when she's pissed off at somebody. The story is neither here nor there at this point. It's just kind of there, really. So I'm not sure what to think about that. I mean, it starts out kind of convoluted and then they kind of start explaining stuff over time. So I think I'm still in that explanation mode at this point because I really don't see why I should care about any of this. But you know, the combat is really good and I do think, and I mean, obviously it's gorgeous. You know, you guys talked about that last week and you're absolutely right. The game is fucking beautiful.
Oh yeah.
I'm not trying to hate on the game because
I am being honest. You're an RPG fan. Like,
I love RPGs and I'm sorry. I think that my $60 was much more well spent on White Knight Chronicles than it was Final Fantasy XIII. But that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm not going to hate you for that comment anymore. Yeah. No. No.
But yeah, I mean, wow. So that's really the gist of it. I am really enjoying the combat. So once God of War is done and put away for, you know, until I end up going back to it eventually, I'm going to play that and then I'll play Final Fantasy again. You know, minus the time when I get online to play White Knight Chronicles with people. There you go.
Cool.
All right. What else are we going to talk about, Travis?
Really not much else left except for the God of Wars.
God of War!
Wow. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm just going to add my two cents because, again, this is Jeff's baby, and I'm going to let him talk about it. But I was looking at the back of the box, and it was like, the end is here and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, Kratos is fighting the gods, all this crazy crap, do this, do that. You know what? That back of the box should say one thing, and one thing only. Boner. Because the second I started that intro, like,
dude, isn't that the
intro
coolest
sequence,
intro ever in a fucking video game?
It was
quite amazing.
No, I'm not talking about just the game. I'm talking about the fucking credit
sequence.
I'm talking
about the credits, at the beginning,
dude,
where you can't skip them. I got like half a
stock just watching that shit, dude.
So it's really cool too because they're basically backtracking all the things that Kratos has gone through.
Yeah.
They tell you the story.
Oh shit! I remember that, and I remember that. You know, it's really cool the way that, I mean, that entire, and it's funny too because I remember Jeff. I don't know if you posted it on Twitter or what, but he was like, the credits are better than Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. No, I said the beginning credits of God of War 3 has more personality than the entire Dante's Inferno game, which I still stand by the way, because
I gotta hand it to Santa Monica Studios, man. They have a team of fucking creative ass people that do some awesome shit. I mean, that's the gist of it.
The cool part is this is a series that the same person has never directed twice. Like the first one, of course, was Jaffe. And the second one was Corey Balrog, who Jaffe overlooked some of God of War 2, but he did not have a lot to do with it in terms of the decision making or anything like that. He just basically was like, you know, just overlooking things or whatnot. And then Balrog left, and then what's the guy's name? It's is he German or something? Or no, is he from like Scandinavia? I don't know. The guy, what's the guy's name? Oh my god, I don't know his name. Anywho, but yeah, it's a totally different guy who was the lead developer and the director, and it just fucking it hit the nail on the head, man. I remember a long time ago I said I was kind of getting tired of the whole God of War mechanics after Chains of Olympus, and
shit.
I just wanted 3 to be like 2 on a much, much more epic scale and like basically give us some new stuff here and there, and boy did they ever come through for me. Like I've almost beaten the game. I probably could have beat it yesterday, over the weekend, but when did it come out?
Tuesday?
Shit, I had yesterday off work.
It came out Tuesday, dude.
Yeah, I totally forgot. I had yesterday off work, so I didn't work yesterday, so automatically I thought, oh, it's the weekend, but yeah, it's not the weekend. Anywho, but yeah, I wanted to savor some, like, I don't want to beat it all in one day, but man, some of the changes they made to the gameplay, like, they took elements from 1 and 2 that were basically useless or stuff that no one used, and put it in the game in place that made sense. For one, like the Gorgon head, like the Medusa head.
Oh, that I
you
love
get
that.
In 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah.
I never used
it.
No one ever used it.
In the first ones.
Yeah, you used it when you had to use it, and then I don't think anyone really leveled that thing up unless they were just trying to be a completionist or something like that.
That was the last thing I leveled up in each game.
Exactly. And then this one, it's when there's a Gorgon in a fight, you rip off her head, and then you freeze everyone who else is on the screen, and then you go and continue to kick their stoned ass.
Yeah, right? and it's great because they do that with the sirens as well. When you kill a siren, they explode, and it causes like a shockwave and kills surrounding enemies. And in the first games, every time you fought like the Gorgons, you're like, oh, these bitches again, or the sirens, oh, not these guys again, because they are kind of a pain in the ass. They're worse to deal with than your normal grunts and everything. Yeah. And now, when I'm fighting, and I got like a couple of guys in front of me, or even if I'm surrounded, and I'm just like, doing my 360 degree chain attack, and all of a sudden I see that Gorgon, I'm going right for it. It's like, oh, now
oh,
I want to fight
right.
them. Now I want to go for them.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Like,
and
yeah.
it's really
now
cool.
It's, now it's a key element of the combat, because it's like, okay, I know I can, once I kill her, I'll be able to turn all these other guys to stone, and I can just tear them up.
Yeah, and that's something the God of War games have never done. Like,
no.
I gotta go get this person right now, quick.
No, they never give you kind of like a certain order you should fight everyone in. It's, this one does that. And even some of the extra, I love how they tied magic to weapons now. Because it made it so you don't have to level them up separately. If you level up like a certain weapon, you're leveling up the magic that goes with it. And also the spells, all have different uses, finally. Cause like all the ones in the first one pretty much did the same thing. Just in a different way. Whereas this, it's not. Like, the first one you get, I believe, is the, what's it called, where all the soldiers come down and cover you. It's like kind of like an area, like a defensive area.
Oh,
attack.
Yeah.
The,
I forgot the name of the attack.
But. It's like kind
of
like
the,
that
it's name
Trojan.
Of the first boss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In Dark Demon Souls. Can't remember what the freaking name is.
Phalanx.
The Spartan Phalanx or whatever. And then you get the one that, that unleashes the souls, which is awesome, because that just goes into a combo, like an extra kit. You'll send out a soul of some kind of monster you've already beaten, which is pretty damn cool. But the point of it is it all flows really well. Like, you can switch to anything on the fly, which I think adds a lot more depth to the combat engine, which I think it desperately, desperately needed.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There is so much things just makes more sense. I don't know. It makes every weapon in the game worth using, because it seems that certain weapons work better against certain enemies.
Right.
Like Chris, I don't know if you got the... Did you get the gauntlets yet?
No, I have not gotten the gauntlets yet. No.
I just got...
Okay, you know where the demo ends?
Mm-hmm.
I just passed that.
Oh, okay.
So I'm probably like maybe 20 minutes past that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say I'm at a part where there's a whole lot of Minotaurs. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
That's all I'm
going to
say.
Exactly. Oh, I know. I know exactly where you're
going. And that goes back again to the strategy we were talking about, because there was toward the end of that, there is more of a strategy you need to do. There's a certain enemy you have to go for to get past the Minotaurs and everything. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how many things you get to, like, the game is really good at pace. Like, God of War, I thought, has always been good at pacing for the first bit, and then kind of slows down a little bit, then kind of ranks up close to the end, whereas this one, I'm apparently about 2 hours away from the end, and I have not got to a boring part once, and they always have me doing something different, even if it's only like 10 or 20 seconds. Like, there's something you do, like in the demo, people played the demo, you kill Helios, And there's just a little thing you do before you kill him that they add into the full game. Like, that demo level is basically, it's in the game, but it's totally different. Totally different.
Yeah, the entire, I was actually noticing that, because the entirety of the demo is in the game, but it was actually like kind of clipped together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's kind of impressive because they clipped all these little pieces of that level together into this nice little chunk that is very smooth, and you don't even realize that it's different parts of each level.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the level, you know?
Yeah. And that scene you're talking about was great. It was a nice little break from the action, mm-hmm. but it was like a really, really, like what you're doing with the analog sticks is just really, really neat and everything. And actually, it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't.
Because that scene was actually kind of spoiled for me on another podcast, and I was like, well, okay, I knew this was coming. And I'm like, wow, this is intense, because this is not as easy as it sounded, you know, when I was, you know, hearing someone mention it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it really, really, like, help finish the mood. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of work for going for Helios and everything, and it was really neat. So
yeah, it's pretty, and there's a lot of moments in the game like that, and just, I don't know, just like, everything, like the bow is useful now, and you use it all freaking time.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I use the bow a lot.
They give you a recharge meter now, so you can use the bow, and it works similar to, say, something like a Bayonetta or Dante's Inferno's, like, guns, where you just like hammer on that button and it just shoots like rapid fire arrows, and then once
you can hold it down and do a charge arrow.
Yeah, do a charge arrow, mm-hmm, and it keeps your combos going, and it adds the game, like some people say, yeah, it just feels like God of War. And yes, it still feels like God of War, but it feels like a very, very, very tight God of War engine.
Polished.
Like, they really polished it up, and they really improved where they needed to without making it feel like a totally different game.
And I want to throw this out there. Can I just say that I love the new moves that they've thrown in? Like the grab where he throws out the chains and shoots himself forward and like and hits him with the shoulder pad. I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome. You can chain combos together with that and everything.
Yeah, you chain the combos together, and if there's the guys under that there's guys that like crawl underneath the ground, you can use that move and like just grab them out from under the ground.
Hated those guys. In 1 and 2. Like, I just hate them. Whenever they went to the ground, I was like, oh, this is retarded. I have to basically keep dodging until they come out and hope not to get hit.
And now they gave you something that
get them out of there.
That relieves that annoyance.
Yes.
And
right.
It's like they took a lot of the issues that I had with the previous God of Wars. I haven't experienced those yet.
I haven't either. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's refreshing to be able to play this entry of a game, of a series that I love so much, and that looks this fucking gorgeous.
Oh my god, it's so good looking.
And
yeah, it's,
it has some of the best lighting effects I've ever seen in a game.
Amazing. And this texture work on some of those creatures make them look real, even though they're fantasy creatures. Like Medusa, when it goes in that close up when you're doing the finishing move, like the scales on her tail and everything.
It looks like a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that's... Yeah. Impressive stuff.
And they press came out about like the whole zipper mechanic that they did, that like you do the when you kill the centaurs and their guts spill out.
Oh yeah, that kind of stuff.
It's like they took the gore and turned it up to 11. You know, it's like
they really did.
And it's like there's a trophy that says cover Kratos with like 500 buckets of blood or something like that. I'm like, good god. And I can't remember who I was fighting, but. It like zoomed in, and you could literally see the blood like splashing onto his body.
Now that's when you kill the first Cyclops.
I think that was it. Yeah, when you kill the first Cyclops, you just see the blood from his eye oh man,
drench him, and it's like awesome. When you're fighting and like you see like enemies and yourself soaked in blood, and the blood disappears eventually, but it does look pretty damn cool.
Like there's one more thing that I want to bring up that I really love before we start. All right, before we start being completely objective about the game and actually talking about some of the things that we didn't like about it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. And it's not necessarily the awesome boss battles, because it's a God of War game.
Yeah, it's
I knew there
happen.
Were some going to be really good boss battles, but I'm just glad that I'm only 3.5 hours into the game and I've had 2 of those fucking big ass boss battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes me so happy, because what is the thing that we said about with God of War 2 that we really wanted? We wanted more of the bigger boss battles.
Yeah.
And you get it.
That first one especially, Poseidon, is just, the whole level is just, oh man.
Oh, yeah.
Boner.
I mean, this isn't really, I don't know if this is really spoiling anything. I don't know if this is really spoiling anything, but because most people know that in the first level you're fighting Poseidon and,
yeah,
and you're fighting on Gaia. And just the entire fluidity of the level. I mean, it's like I've never seen a level like change that much on the fly while you're playing. You know, and it's just, it's so cool. And you like to be running down her arm and you see her arm still moving throughout the background and stuff like that. It's, I they just did a great job. They did a fantastic job.
Not even bosses. The first time you meet the Forger, which I can't remember his name. It's like Herfrius.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
The guy, just him in the background is sitting there like moving around and stuff. And he's huge and just like, I don't know. Just the whole thing is just epic. Everything is on a much bigger kick-ass scale.
Yeah, yeah,
and
it definitely
just
is.
Lighting, the graphics, the friggin'... If I have one complaint about the graphics, it's not even a complaint, it's I really wish they could have locked it at 60 frames a second. That's the only thing Dante's Inferno has on this game at all. But
now, have you guys seen it, the frame rate drops during gameplay?
Yeah.
No. I haven't. No.
I haven't actually seen it during gameplay.
Not during gameplay in terms of fighting, but there's been a couple times where I've been walking around in an area, and then it also, you can... I definitely notice like drop in... In frame rate for like a second or two, for sure.
Yeah.
But
okay. I noticed some of the frame rate drops during some of the in-engine cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll notice it then a little bit.
Which looks CG pretty much.
They do. They look really fucking good.
The character model for Kratos is off the charts.
I'm just going to say it right now. It is the best character, for me, the best character model ever.
The guy's wearing
a loincloth.
Yeah.
And that is it.
That's true. That says something, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to give it to Naughty Dog. You know, Nathan Drake looks fantastic. And of course, God of War can't compare to the facial animations and the animation of the characters and everything. That's
Kratos, best to date. But
you can tell that the technology that they used in Naughty Dog, what Naughty Dog used for Uncharted was not in God of War.
But even
though Kratos does look good, his facial animations look good, they're not up to par with Uncharted. But I do think Kratos, the character model itself, looks better than any character model to date on a console.
I might have to agree with you there.
Especially for what he's wearing. He's wearing nothing. You know?
Pretty much, yeah.
He wears nothing.
Like some of the other character models look kind of iffy, but I mean, you can let it slide when it's got,
Yeah. You know what? I think actually all the character models take a drastic step down. Because, you know, especially compared to Kratos. Because, you know, in the beginning, you do, you know, see Zeus, and he looks very plastic.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like it.
Most of the characters besides Kratos look like they were done on a much more advanced version of the Unreal 3 engine.
Right.
Like, it's still kind of got that kind of plastic-y look
like
in a lot
shiny
of the characters.
There's a lot of that shiny look in them,
especially on Zeus, like his hair and like that.
And to be real, I mean, that's the way it's always been with God of War, right? They focus most of their geometric resources on Kratos.
And they
use the rest of it to fill in the gaps. Like, remember when we were talking about God of War Collection, and we were talking about when you, run into, who were you running into that I was mentioning? I don't know. I forgot. Like, but it's the chick that has like the see-through
the Oracle.
When you're talking to the Oracle, and when you're in the in-engine cutscene, she looks really good because they were able to take those resources and give her more geometry. Yeah. But when it's in gameplay, she's like, her arm is like a square. That's kind of the way God of War has always been. I mean, they put most of their assets in and they focus on Kratos to make sure that he looks the part. He looks good. He always looks good. No matter what you're looking at, he always looks good.
And just some of this, like Travis already said, this facial animation is good, but sometimes when you see his sneer and his growl, like, it's even on the title screen, man, when you see him kind of looking around, he gets that friggin', like, it's kind of, the guy looks like a mean motherfucker.
Yeah. It's genuine.
This guy, in the first time he opens his mouth, I can't remember when he sees Zeus, and he's just like, I'm like, dude looks pissed.
Yeah.
He is just gonna tear his fucking heart out and feed it to his kids or something.
Right.
But there's some issues, there's some nitpicky things I could pick out. Like, I mean, it's still some of the platforming's a bit off.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst part for me.
Yeah, especially, and there's two areas that I can, right off the top of my head, where I can name, I won't mention them now because of spoilers, maybe like a couple shows down the line when we all beat it, but where I was frustrated, like, I got I got that, you know, when it, you die some amount of times, and it's like, would you like to go to the next level down or whatever? Basically telling you suck. Yeah, I got that once at the certain part because it's all platforming. That's all it was. I kept missing a jump
in this
area. Yeah,
it's like, how is going to easy going to change?
Yeah, exactly. It's basically a part where you have to make a bunch of successive jumps. Yeah. And the camera doesn't really help out either because you can't really tell distance or what way you're going to jump. But
The part where everything's kind of fallen?
Yes.
Okay. I see that, yeah.
I don't know why.
Based on what I said about the lots of minotaurs, have I passed that part yet?
Yes, you have.
I think you have.
You have.
Yeah. You said you played past the demo, so yeah, you have played that part then.
And you're on the cubes, pretty much, Chris.
Yes, that's where Chris is on the cubes, which I like that part. And a couple of the puzzles are, there's one puzzle in particular that I kind of was like, this is pretty lame.
The Guitar Hero.
Yeah. I don't know if Chris has gotten there yet.
I haven't gotten there yet, no.
Yeah,
I was actually going to mention, because the puzzles seem well-paced out.
They're fine. Most of them are fine. Like, and they're not too hard, whatever. A couple of them make you think for like a couple seconds, like, oh, okay, this is what I got to do. But this one is just kind of... It just didn't seem like it fit in the universe.
Exactly. It's exactly what I was going to say. It took me out of the game, because the first... When you're walking up to the puzzle, Jeff, what is the first thing you see?
You basically see the four icons on the PS3 controller. So you see the square, X, circle, and...
And they're the same color. They don't try to hide it in the world. It's the same color.
I wish they did it more like have actual different symbols on there that were related more to the mythology, and then they related those to a button on your controller. That would have made it a little bit better, but it's not really that much of a spoiler. I hope people don't get upset, but yeah, basically you're doing a rhythm game for a bit.
And it's very odd.
Yeah,
it's really odd.
I was like, this is just kind of, I don't know. But some of the other ones are pretty damn cool, and I like the way they're done. And there's one part in a puzzle where the way you solve it's pretty, that's surprising, but Kratos is a really big dickhead. I'll just say that. Pretty big dick. Like, you know, in the first one where you got to sacrifice that dude in the fire?
Where you have to put him in the fire?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to that, but not really. And you'll laugh. There's a trophy for it, too, once you do this part. Yeah. I kind of giggled, but at the same time, I was like, wow, he really is a dick.
Yeah.
All right, can I tell you guys my biggest problem with this game right now?
We probably won't see a fourth one for a long time.
No, that's not it.
No, it's
instant death QTEs.
Really? I haven't gotten
any of that.
Because
I just got one where if you fail it, like an enemy will knock you off. And
Did you not miss any of them with Poseidon?
No, I haven't missed any of them with any of the boss characters.
Those were kind of easy.
I guess it's just me. I have old man reaction time.
I think I
either hit the wrong button or died with Poseidon, probably two or three times.
No, it's understandable. What I like about God of War 3 did was they put the buttons corresponding to the side of the screen.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Which is awesome. I'm like, I can actually look at what's happening on screen now, and then if I see something pop up, I know where to hit it.
And it's not much less where the button placement is. Mm-hmm. When the QTE comes up, and let's say it's on the left side of the screen, the square icon will come up, but it's not that. They have the left side of the screen, the whole left side, blink. With a white light, and that helps so you can watch it, but once you see that white light in your perif, you can hit that. You know where to go. You know what button to hit. You don't even have to worry about looking at the button itself. You just look in your peripheral vision for the blinking light, which is really, really cool, because I can really focus on that action. I love that.
And keeping it related to QuickTime, I'm not sure how I feel about this one, but they seem to change the QuickTime events for a lot of the main enemies up all the time, except for stuff like the Minotaur, where you just gotta like mash on circle. But I'm pretty sure when you're fighting the Gorgons and the
Cyclops.
I don't know what they're called. Yeah, like the Cyclops and stuff like that. It seems like they don't do the same pattern like they did. They seem to change it up all the time.
And even the Minotaur, they change up.
Do they really?
Yeah, when you're on the tubes, it's different.
The tubes is the one where you gotta break their neck, right?
Right.
Yeah, that one is different. Yeah, but the other ones throughout the game where you just gotta where you get the health from them and jab your blade of chaos right down their throat.
This game is gruesome, man.
It's
awesome.
Crazy.
I love it.
Yeah, I don't want to. Like, we're probably sound like we're hyping the shit out of it, but this is like, it's not too often where you get all of us playing the same game and we're all just like, this is freaking amazing.
And I said this on Twitter earlier today. There's like 60 something reviews out there on Metacritic. There's like 7 of them that are below 9, and there's none that are below 8.
Yeah, and, dude, if you don't like God of War 3...
There's a good reason for that, I think.
Yeah, I said it on Twitter too. I said, if you don't like God of War 3, then you don't like awesomeness.
This you don't is like video games. You are unable to get a boner.
It's a video game. It's
you
like,
need to get yourself impotent. Checked out for erectile dysfunction because you have no boner.
Go try and get a prescription for Viagra or something.
Yeah, this like is officially the boner cast. I'm sorry.
Boner cast.
Confirmed.
Yeah, that being said, like, I mean, if you don't like that type of game, obviously you're not going to like it. But if you like character action games at all, like, yeah, some people might not like the story or think it's shallow. Or think that Kratos whines too much or is full of teenage angst, right. But who cares? It's
an awesome game. Yeah. It really is.
Really,
and
really good.
You're not going to get the deep combat that you get with something like Ninja Gaiden or Bayonetta, but the combat is still fun and it can be more interesting if you make it that way. And
they did do
a good job of kind of scaling up the difficulty a little bit to make it so that you had to be more. You had to do more improvising with the way you did combat, but I am kind of disappointed that it has been. I have been sticking to some of the combos that I knew worked in 1 and 2.
Oh, there's definitely bread and butter combos for the first two. Yeah.
And they said that you know, one of the things that they said in recent interviews is that, you know, you would have to change it up along the way. So I'm really hoping I start seeing that change up.
Yeah, you don't really have to. It just becomes how efficient you want to be. Like, I mean, you can stick to the same thing over and over again. It's just going to take you longer to kill some enemies, that's all. And yeah. I mean, I can't really... I did the same thing with Bayonetta and Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry. Like, once a few combos that were strong and powerful, I was like, all right, which time? Repeat the same combo. Combo, repeat. Like, yeah, it's, I think people just kind of having to do that. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. And I talk about it, honestly, all freaking night so far. But I'm going to have the game beaten by this weekend for sure.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're all going to be done by next show.
Yeah, well, we should be.
Spoiler talk.
We might have to do a spoiler after.
Well, next week is MGC, so I don't know if you guys will be able to do it next week, but maybe the week after we'll do it.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. Maybe Scott will let us hoard his podcasting equipment. he'll have that hooked up already. We'll find a way, but anyway.
We'll find a way.
So I guess that's...
Kratos, we'll find a way.
I do want to say one last thing about God of War. Chris, you haven't gotten here yet. I know you have, Jeff. The greatest ever... voiceover cameo in a video game ever.
Is that who I think it is?
That is exactly who you think it is. I am not going to say what character. I'm not going to say what voice actor.
Who the hell is that? Right on Twitter, I'm like, who is that voice? It's driving me nuts.
Greatest cameo ever. Ever. I dare someone who knows what I'm talking about. Ever. I dare someone. I'm saying cameo, not a main character, but just pop-up cameo. Like, holy shit, I didn't know that person was in this game. Now, it was ruined for me. Yeah. I'm not going to say what podcast ruined it for me, but I was kind of pissed off.
PlayStation.
It would have been so much more poignant if it wasn't spoiled, but it was still awesome nonetheless.
I haven't listened to their show since God of War came
out. It was very much reminiscent of in God of War 2 when they got Harry Hamlin, the original Perseus from the old 1981 Clash of the Titans, when they got him to be Perseus, it's very, very similar to that, and it is bad to the ass. It is fucking awesome.
It's funny, because when I got to that point, I think I knew exactly what you're talking about, saying that it was ruined for you and who it was and whatever, and I just, I knew the voice. I'm like, who the hell? It's driving me nuts. And the first time I encountered him, I was kind of like, okay, well, I'll figure it out. And then I got back to him, like, oh my god, I need to figure out who this is. And once I found out who it was, I'm like, oh my god, it makes sense now. I was like, that's exactly who it is.
It's badass. And to me, it's like, man, there's no one else that could have done it. So anyway, Chris, when you get there, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Except for
about.
Maybe Will Smith, maybe.
Maybe. Probably.
That's a kind of a double entendre right there.
Yeah. So, but other than Final Fantasy 13, boo, and God of War, yay! That's all for me. Jeff, what have you been playing?
dude, besides Final Fantasy 13 and God of War 3, I downloaded Perfect Dark yesterday, actually, on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Cool.
Which I wasn't going to do. I was not going to get it because I figured there's no way it holds up. Like, I played GoldenEye within the last, whatever, couple years, and I was like, no. And Perfect Dark Zero was a big bag of bum. And so I downloaded the trial, and then I was like, no, this is actually pretty damn good. And so I downloaded the whole thing. And I'm looking at people over this Saturday to play some split-screen action like old times.
Nice.
So we can all yell at each other for staring at other people's screens and all that kind of stuff. And
that's pretty
picking
cool.
Picking the alien.
See, I have to admit that the one I know it's kind of related, but the one first person shooter I really enjoyed because of split screen multiplayer was GoldenEye. And I know that Perfect Dark was kind of
same thing. It even has GoldenEye maps in it.
Yeah.
All the good GoldenEye maps are in there. And I mean, the game doesn't look that great by any means. Like, they did they up-res everything to, or they didn't up-res it, I guess. They said they redid the textures, which I don't know how much of that is 100% true, because the game still is not very detailed and it looks kind of plain, but it is very, very smooth. Like, it runs at 60 frames, which we've never seen Perfect Dark run at 60 frames. And it does look more crisp, definitely. And it does look like they added details here and there, but it's, yeah, I mean, for $10, if you have played it before and you know what Perfect Dark's all about, I would definitely recommend it. But if you haven't played Perfect Dark and maybe you got into first-person shooters, maybe you're on like the Call of Duty Halo era, don't know if it will be your kind of cup of tea. But I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
All right. And I'll have more of that next week when I actually get a good multiplayer game going. But yeah, that's all I've been playing, man.
All right, cool.
We can talk about God of War 3 my more.
Let's talk about God of War some more. I'll run down my others real quick. Lots of Lunar. Still playing the shit out of that. I am so glad I have a PSP. Let's see what else. Rock Band. I broke that out today. Downloaded some new songs.
Oh, wow. Remember when that used to be like mandatory?
Yeah,
I
do.
Every single week.
The main reason is because of Silver Sun Pickups Panic Switch. People, this song is awesome. If you have Rock Band and you enjoy it, you owe it to yourself to pay the $2 to buy this song. Panic Switch by Silver Sun Pickups. It is awesome. It is fun. And it's a workout. My arm hurt after the first time I played it. I was like, good God.
Yeah, it did.
let's see. Also played some more White Knight Chronicles. White Knights Continue. Another set of downloadable content came out. So hopefully we'll be playing that one next week. I think that's about it. And Jeff, you said last week that you thought I put 92 hours in and you were wrong. Of course, now I have.
Why did I just take a guess and say you have put 92 hours
in? No, I said I put like 85 hours into the game and you're like, holy shit. And I was like, no, I don't know if it's 85 hours. And he goes, no, it's more like 92. Well,
oh,
you were
now
wrong.
You have.
Now, but now you're right. So
awesome.
I think I'm up to, after Tuesday night's, White Knight, I think I'm up to about 93 or 94 hours, something like that.
Hmm.
So man, when did you turn into such a Sony fanboy?
Dude, when I saw you playing that on Tuesday night, or was it Wednesday? I can't remember when I messaged you. I was so disappointed.
It was Tuesday.
I was like, son of a bitch.
Can I just say something, Jeff? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. First, let me explain. All right. So God of War 3 came out on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know when I was going to get my copy because, you know, as I said on another cast, I got my copy because I won the contest, for the Valkyria Chronicles contest.
That's right.
So I didn't know when I was going to get it. So I had already started talking about playing White Knights before I knew I was going to get it on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm playing White Knights, I'm playing with a couple of our listeners. I'm playing with, I think I was playing with, Kung Fu Lord and, Lalipansu, both from VG Evo.
Yep.
And I saw your name pop up and I was like, shit, Jeff's on. In about 2 seconds, I'm going to get a message from him that says, what are you doing playing White Knight? And when, you know, like 5 seconds after I said that, it's like I said that right as I was starting up a mission, got in the mission, and then I saw the message pop up from Jeff. And as they entered the mission, I was like, hey, guess what, guys? I just got a message from Jeff.
I titled it Dude, and then the text, the context of it was WTF.
That was it. That was it. But, so I had already committed to playing White Knight, so I wasn't about to back out on that. And really, I enjoy playing the game, so, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'll still dedicate that, you know, 3 hour chunk of time to White Knight every Tuesday night, whether or not I'm playing something else, I think.
Yeah, but it's God of War.
I know, and God of War will probably be beat by the time I have to play White Knight again, so it's not
still,
a big deal.
Still, it's kind of like, well, I got the Hurt Locker I can watch on DVD, or, oh, I got that Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie with Dennis Hopper. That's supposed to be terrible. I'll watch that.
thought you weren't going to make any more White Knight jokes.
Well, not regarding Final Fantasy XIII.
Oh,
it's fair game if I'm talking God of War.
Oh, okay, of course, yeah. No, I agree with that.
Because I was into that game like 2 seconds into the game. Like
when I was playing Final Fantasy XIII before going to sleep. It's my bedtime bedtime gaming game.
Because it puts
game,
you to sleep.
Game of the
Final
year.
Final Fantasy. Oh, yeah, because it puts me to sleep. It's easy to play there, and I had like so many messages from people like, dude, are you done God of War? Like, half people thought I beat it already, and the other half were like, is God of War 3 not good? Like, no, I'm just taking a... Shut up!
Savor in the flavor.
I'm trying to get paradigm shift right now. Leave me alone.
You gotta let it marinate.
That's right.
Cool. Yeah, that's it for me. So, I'm going to pass it back over to Jeff so we can do some news.
Well, there's some news. Not a lot going on in the news today.
Drop some knowledge.
Do it. Yes, I'm going to try to. 360 Slim. Is it happening? Is it coming? No announcements yet, but some forum out of China, some technology forum, there was pictures of I can't really say a reimagining when it's actually been built, but a new engineered, much smaller, what's it called? Come on, guys, help me out here. Why am I having such a brain fart right now? Like a chipset. What do you call it? Like a circuit... Well, not a circuit board, but like... You know, anywho, oh, the guts of the 360, a much smaller version of it. Just the inside, so no like casing or nothing like that. So like nothing what it would look like. But it looks like they put the CPU and the GPU. It's now in one chip, so it's supposed to vastly reduce heat, and they move some stuff around here and there. So, of course, we got people talking. Is there going to be a 360 Slim coming? No announcements, like I said, but it looks like, I mean, it would make sense. They're going to relaunch the 360. They said this for a long time when Natal comes out, like rebrand it. And what better way than to have a slim, non-R-Rod console come out at the same time. So who knows? Nothing's been announced. People contacted MS and they said, we don't comment on rumor and speculation, as per usual. So maybe that's something we're going to see at E3. I don't know. I would like to see one, personally. I wouldn't mind selling my fat if a Slim comes out, and I know that it's not going to red ring on me or anything like that. So
yeah, no kidding.
Plus, I'm a whore for a new technology, so.
Which we can tell, judging from buying the PS3 Slim.
Exactly. And I mean, in technology, that is the one time where you can definitely safely say that smaller is definitely better. So, there we go.
Cool.
Sticking with the same thing, 360... There's going to be there's another rumor. There's a spring update coming, like there usually is for Xbox Live. There's a rumor that there's going to be an update to be able to use USB storage units, so basically external hard drives, or I'm not sure if this would count as like a memory stick or something like that. But before everyone gets all excited, because, I mean, people have been screaming at Microsoft to have this, like, to be implemented for a long time, since you can put any
kind
of
I'm pretty
of
excited
HD.
Right now, so, you know.
Well, the bad news is that no matter how big your hard drive is, like you could have a terabyte, you could have whatever, it's only going to allow you to use 16 gigs of it, no matter what. Yeah. So it's going to limit you. Your source has to be bigger than a gig, and it's got to be smaller than... it can be bigger than 16 gigs. It will just only let you use 16 gigs of it for...
It'll partition
360
it for 16
stuff.
Gigs?
Exactly.
Oh, that's lame.
It still does everything that your regular HDD hard drive does on 360, so you can copy all your games to it. It'll run stuff from it and everything. And you can have two going at the same time. So technically, you could have 32 gigs, but you have to have two separate external hard drives. So, I mean, that's kind of crappy, but I mean, buying a 16-gig hard drive, or you can buy like a cheaper hard drive than the crap that they put out. But the problem is, they obviously put a gap on it or a cap on it, so you'd still have that incentive to go buy their 120 and 240 or whatever it is.
Yeah, the 250 one.
The 250 or, yeah. So, I mean,
they said it was coming out, right?
I'm pretty sure they did, yeah. I'm sure it will. Okay. It'll pretty much have to. Sony has one. They have to do the same. So, true. I don't know. I'm sure there's some people out there who are like, oh, cool, I don't need too much more space.
Yeah, I don't. Too much so, more I mean, space. That would actually be helpful for me, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, there you go. Final Fight and Magic Sword. Those are two Capcom classics. I like the both. I love these ones. I can't speak today. Oh, my God. both these games I played a crap load of in the arcade. Like, of course, Final Fight everyone's familiar with. And Magic Sword, for people who might not have played it. It's like a two-player side-scrolling kind of... I guess not really a brawler. It's kind of hard to describe, really. I don't know. How would you guys... Do you guys play this game?
Beat 'em up?
Yeah,
Final Fight or Magic Sword?
No, Magic Sword.
Magic Sword is still a beat 'em up, but it's kind of like a Golden Axe-ish beat 'em up.
Well, not really. Well, it's set in like, yeah, it's like fantasy based, but it's a side. I think pretty sure you're on like a one plane, and you're not really beating people. Well, I guess you are beating people up. I don't know. It's hard. There's not really too many games like it. I guess there was way back in the day, but it's just like a side-scrolling action game, I guess, really. But anyway, Capcom's releasing it on April 12th on Xbox Live Arcade and the 15th on PSN for $10. You get the both of them. It's the Final Fight Double Impact bundle. So, I mean, not many people might not care for it, but, I mean, they're two well-known games, and they have it back. I'm going to get it. I mean, I really like Magic Sword. That game is pretty cool. I played that a ton, actually, when we were at Cherry's. Good stuff. You don't care about Magic Sword?
I kind of enjoy living in this, you know.
This gen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll buy it. I don't play it like once or twice, but I mean, I'm just a sucker, so.
That's why I'm not going to get Sonic 4. It's like,
save your money for...
Welcome to 1990. I mean, why? Like, I can go get me some parachute pants and some fucking...
sit there and watch it,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can spend your money on other things, like, well, you've already said you're a huge Final Fantasy 13 fan, right?
I mean, massive. Yeah, dude, fucking game of the century.
You wouldn't, like, they have some cool, like, pictures and art in that game. We said the graphics are probably, at this point, the number one, it has the number one thing going forward to its graphics. And
the art, yeah.
Yeah, and the art and stuff like that. Well, you can download them to your iPhone now. There's an app, the Final Fantasy 13 Gallery app, I guess, or... You know, it's got a calendar. It's got some...
Oh, hell yeah!
Some pics and stuff, not only just from the game, but just some concept art and whatnot. And so there's some pretty cool photos on here. So, I mean, if you have an iPhone or something like that, you can go up there, because apps are, you know, roughly about $1, something like that. Like, I don't know. I have a couple calendar things on my thing. I think it's been 99 cents, maybe. I think $2 was for one of them, which is a big waste of money. But, yeah. I mean, Final Fantasy 13, you can do that up on your iPhone for the cheap price of... $9.99.
Wait, what?
Sorry, what? Final Fantasy 13. You can
Final
get
Fantasy
their
13
background.
Images. Yes.
Yeah, images. Yeah, images
for you your iPhone. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much did you say?
$9.
Nine.
All right. Time out. Here we go. Okay, so like $9.99.
Well, like for, $9. We'll say $9.
Okay, $8.99.
Okay, $8.99.
All right. Oh, that's so much better. I'll buy that
for
$8.99.
For images that you put on your iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Keep in mind that, like I said, other things similar to this go for about $1. Maybe the most is like $3, depending on what it is. Like, I don't know, swimsuit, Sports Illustrated swimsuit models or something. I don't know.
Hey, is it coming out for Android?
No, I don't think so. Not yet. But I mean, at that price,
I gotta say,
who gives a shit
on any platform? I gotta say that $9 for images. Fuck,
they've gone batshit crazy. They think they get $9, and some people will buy it. I know some.
Of course,
will.
Some people will buy it. Retards.
You know, I'm gonna say it right now. All right, you heard it here first. All right, fuck Square Enix right now.
That's what I heard it here first.
I'm sorry. Fuck Square Enix. I'm tired of them right now. They're officially on my shit list. No.
It just seems they're so full of themselves. Ever since that one commercial they had with it was like an infomercial for Final Fantasy 13 where they're announcing the release date in North America. Mm-mm. You guys see that with that douche?
No, I didn't.
And the most anticipated
game ever is going to be blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, and what? Before we leave, we have one more thing to announce. No, forget it. We'll do it later. And then, the release date kind of comes in the background. Oh, dude, Chris, you gotta watch it. It is just atrocious.
I do hate that kind of shit. I really do.
Dude, this is like, it's almost like an infomercial. Like,
that's it. We're totally doing that. We're gonna make a commercial. Yeah, I guess we could tell you when the next Indus Fest is gonna be, but you know what? We'll tell you later.
Crazy. That was the news, guys.
Infomercial.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Jeff. All right, let's take a break.
Let's do it. I think I need one, dude. I was tripping all over myself during that news.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about homage versus plagiarism, and then we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be back right after this.
All right, mic check. Check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer, got my Doritos. Check my perks here. Yeah, sweet. I'm going to kill me some terrorists. They ain't never going to know what hit them. That's right, bitches. I'm coming for you. Get ready to reap the whirlwind. Game, set, match, motherfucker. Get ready. There's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child.
Welcome to the Goos of VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
All right, so today we are talking about homage versus plagiarism, and this is kind of a topic that's been brought on by some of the games that have come out so far this year that have been very similar to other games that we've played in the past. I think I'm going to pass the show off to Travis because I think we got a few emails for this one.
Yeah, we did, in fact, get a few emails. Let's see. Actually, a good friend of ours from the podcast network, from the Amplified Gamers, Mr. Sam Jividen.
Hey, I know that guy.
Hey, yeah, I know. He says, "Hey guys, and Travis." I don't know why. God, I thought I was one of the guys. I guess not. I haven't earned
from
my
the south. You don't count.
I haven't earned my stripes yet. Is it because I'm racist against aliens? Is that what it is?
That's right.
It's got to be.
Because you didn't.
It's not all the aliens. No, it's the Batarans. I don't like them. All the other aliens are cool. Just the Batarans. Anyway, he says, "I love the topic and figured I would chime in on this one. I personally would be hard pressed to call shenanigans on even the most similar of games, since games are making ground as legitimate art. There is an interesting parallel to music. In the world of music, everything has been done already by someone else." It is impossible to be 100% original. The same is true for video games. Most things have been done already. As long as they aren't copy and pasted code from other games, I personally don't see an issue with imitating other success. That's also where copyright law sits on the issue, and who am I to argue with the man? Take it easy, Sam Jividen. P.S. Darksider sucks. Seriously, fuck that shit. Hell yeah.
Nah.
Sam, me and you have always been like this.
Darksiders is the best Zelda game ever.
No.
I think that this, maybe the question wasn't worded as well as we had hoped. But I mean, he's absolutely right. But I guess what we were saying is, when is it too close to, you know, when does it get to the point where it's ridiculous? That's kind of what I was thinking of.
He kind of answered that in a way. He kind of said that everything's been done pretty much already.
Yeah, and that's very true. Everything has been done already, pretty much. And he's very right that unless you're like copying code, it's really not plagiarism. You might be stealing ideas to the point where it's ridiculous. As long as you're, doing the code yourself and shit like that, then you're in good shape. So it's kind of weird that way, one of the biggest things that was obviously going to be mentioned is Dante's Inferno and how similar it is to God of War. I mean, it looks, it plays the same. It's just got the same camera. It's got the same dodging mechanism.
Orbs,
it's got
same open up chest thing.
Yeah. It does kind of border on the ridiculous. That's not to say that it's not a good game, because it is fun. But it's just, there's a difference between homage, which is kind of like paying respect to almost, where it's like, oh, this was a really good idea, so we're gonna borrow it and give our own flavor to it, and what Dante's Inferno did, which was basically, rip off God of War as far as the structure of the game in general.
And Visceral did say that they were they're happy to get comparisons to God of War because that was one of their main influences. But I mean, it was obvious to this game, literally they just took as much as they could out of God of War without direct code or characters as they could not and get away with it, really.
Right.
But I mean, I don't. It's same thing though. I mean, Darksiders, same kind of thing. Like it's very much like Zelda, and they did kind of put their own spin on it. And is Chris there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, because I heard that. I heard the Skype thing go, and I went, lost you.
That was actually Thunderbird, and I just shut it down. Oh. I forgot that I had it still open, so sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. So yeah, I don't know, like that could be argued that they did the same thing with Zelda, but just put like a different kind of skin on it and different storyline, which technically that's what Dante's Inferno is to God of War, but it gets more, like God of War, I mean God of War, Dante's Inferno gets a lot more flack for ripping off God of War than...
So do you actually think that Darksiders is you know, borderline, is it getting to the point of ridiculousness then?
I
think
know.
The Zelda stuff.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. I'm not saying sure. this because I really don't enjoy the game or I don't enjoy the 3D Zelda-ness of it.
Why do you hate fun, Travis?
But I do think it almost copies and pastes like how Zelda is.
But yeah, then it could be argued at least they took that template and then added in. Well, and some will say borrowed as well from other games, but put in a combat system that isn't in Zelda, whereas Dante's Inferno, there's nothing original in Dante's Inferno at all.
Right.
Minus the story, which they loosely based on something that was already written as well.
Yeah, and like right. the whole absolve or punish thing. That's the only, and yeah. even that wasn't like,
and that's,
yeah.
no, that's a cop out. That doesn't have, that has no effect on the game whatsoever.
No, it really for, doesn't.
It may
it's
as
just,
well just be orbs. It
basically, up. It's, that is basically your red orbs in God of War. You know,
yeah.
absolving
oh, yeah.
and punishing in Dante's Inferno is basically your red orbs. It's your experience towards getting new moves and shit. So, yeah, I kind of see where you're going. It does. It may. It's a little different, but it's basically what it is.
So I don't think you guys have really settled on a position.
Well, no,
with Darksiders because you know
I don't think Darksiders. I think it's Darksiders is much more of an homage than it is.
Well, that's the
know,
thing though.
Right.
It's like it's why is it an homage? Though it's an homage because Zelda has been around for so much longer.
I think okay. Here's
other people.
I have a very unique perspective on the way this one works, only because I've played mm-hmm. a game called Newtopia. Newtopia came out for the TurboGrafx-16. And it was, you know, it was shortly after Zelda came out for the NES, and it was ridiculous how much they ripped off from Zelda. I mean, same kind of weapons, you know, mm-hmm. even had the wand that shot the fucking wave thing across the screen and stuff like that. You know, it was literally Zelda with a different skin. It was the same game. And I don't feel like that is the way that Darksiders works. You know, it's got a completely different combat mechanic. It's got, you know, the puzzles are very similar to Zelda. And, you know, but besides that, you know, the puzzles and the dungeons, and that's, you know, that's kind of it. You know, you get items like Zelda, mm-hmm. you solve puzzles, and then some of the dungeons, you know,
it's
the fact that you go to dungeon, yeah, it's got that structure.
But
besides that, I don't feel like
okay.
it's...
Okay,
that's why I'm confused on why you're giving a pass to Darksiders, because it aside from the fact that it was a more deeper combat system, the game is Ocarina of Time. It is Twilight Princess. It is. Mm-hmm. Like that's
I don't get that feeling when I play it. I really don't.
Yeah,
you're doing the same exact thing.
The,
like okay, then why can I well, then why can I if that's the case, then why do I like the old school Zeldas? I don't like the 3D ones, so therefore I get that same vibe when I'm playing that, because it to me it's the same exact thing. Once you hit those temples, it is the same thing.
It's in the same classification.
And it's the same
classification of like genre.
It's the same weapons. I mean, it just with a different coat of paint on them. For the most part. There's a few unique ones. Because even Zelda still throws in their unique ones. Like, Zelda threw in like the fucking disc you ride on and everything like that. Like, they have their different things. Yeah, but I just see it's the same exact game.
Maybe it boils down to the combat for me then.
Aside from the combat, that's why I had a little caveat in there. Aside from a deeper combat system and better combat, it's the same game. So they made the combat better, so it's an homage now. But if they had bland combat like Zelda has, it's plagiarism. The combat doesn't make it an homage to Zelda because it has nothing to do with Zelda. The combat is what's different.
But see, what I'm saying is that it's the way that it's the feeling that I get when I play the game. When I play Dante's Inferno, I feel like I'm playing God of Inferno. That's seriously how it feels when I'm playing it. Because the gameplay is almost exactly the same.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. when it even comes to playing Darksiders. Right. Even though similar. The protagonist in the story is different, the game is, it feels exactly the same when you play it. When I play Darksiders, I don't get that same feeling. You know,
yeah.
I can see like, oh, that's an idea they got from Zelda. That's an idea they got from Zelda. But it doesn't feel like I'm playing a Zelda game. It doesn't feel like I'm playing it doesn't feel like I'm exactly like I'm playing Zelda.
Well,
that's kind of what I'm
saying. Because another thing too is War is totally different than Link. War is not a pansy. War is, you know,
he's not a pansy.
He's not. Like, he's a badass mofo, and he goes around, like, he basically wants to beat the crap out of shit and kill people and kind of, like, get revenge and figure out what's behind this whole story, mm-hmm. is why this whole apocalypse thing happened. And that in itself is creating something that is going to make it feel different than Zelda. Like, I'm with Travis, though. In terms of the game, like, the mechanics is, to me, was Zelda as well, but the other stuff made you forget that it was like Zelda in terms of like
oh,
you
absolutely.
Said, we're going to go back to Donnie's Inferno again, because Donnie's Inferno, yes, it's a new skin on it. They have like their own little storyline, but even the main character in Dante is like a poor man's version of Kratos. Like, he's pissed off. He just wants to go into hell and fuck with everybody and kill anything he sees just to get Beatrice back. And it's the same kind of thing. And the bosses you fight are kind of similar and done in the same kind of way, which is the same with Zelda, but like Chris said, like, I had the same thing. When I was playing Dante's Inferno, I kept just thinking to myself, I could be playing God of War. And it just kept reminding me of whereas Darksiders, besides being like, eh, this plays a lot like Zelda and whatever, other than that, I never thought of Zelda while playing the game. But I don't know, Dot Hero, that's getting a pass too, and that is a direct ripoff of Zelda, but it's being called an homage, because, hey, it's got new pixelated 3D graphics.
And I think it's in the same boat as... It's hard because...
this is a tough subject.
It is a tough subject. The reason I can see 3D.game Heroes as an homage, seeing that it does almost the exact same thing as what Darksiders did with the 3D Zeldas, because there are some different, you know, some upgrades in the combat, like a more in-depth combat system, because you can get bigger weapons and everything, like you can customize your character a little more and everything. So yeah, that way it's more advanced than the older Zeldas, but I do see this as an homage because of the fact of no companies are doing something like, no developers are doing anything like this, really. Like going straight old school. Like no one has the brass balls to take a game that's so retro and make it a point to keep it retro,
because Mega Man.
Well, that Mega Man.
That's not an updated. Yeah, it's Mega Man. Like they didn't. Yeah. It's just 8-bit.
They're not stealing anything from anybody.
No, that's stealing. It's but I thought Mega Travis's Man. Thing is, you said they're doing something different. Like, what are they doing different? Besides, like they're making it like a 3D Zelda that looks 8-bit, which is different. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah, the visuals are definitely different. But I guess where I want to know is why would 3D.game Heroes get a pass when
you can hear I'm trying to think. Like even when he brought 3D.game Heroes up, I was like, I paused for a second. I'm like, is it or is it not? But it is doing, like I said just a second ago, it is doing the same exact thing as Darksiders. But the reason I'm kind of, I don't know what to say is because of the fact I haven't played it yet. So that's the big thing.
How it's going to work.
Yeah. And so it could be an homage. It could not be an homage. But guess what? If there's, fucking Octoroks running around or goblins throwing spears at you, then yes, okay, it's the same fucking game. Like it is the same thing.
They're looking at it from humor too, though, because that's kind of a thing too. Like it's kind of like when you pay homage or like you're trying to say something gave you like, inspiration or whatnot. Mm-hmm. They're doing it in a way where, yes, they're ripping it off, but no, Nintendo's obviously, they've long forgotten Link to the Past. They're in the original Zelda. They're not going to make another game like that. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely unfortunately. So they're saying, we're going to do it. We're going to do it in such a way that we are paying homage. We're going to make a little bit of humor because there's like, it is pretty funny. Like, you've seen the size of some of the swords and weapons you get in that thing. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And it's just funny. They're adding humor to something that people who play the original Zeldas will understand, and won't be like, hey, they're directly trying to rip them off, because they're not trying to capitalize on the same market that Zelda's going for right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Dante's Inferno is going after that same market that God of War is going for. And I don't think 3D game or game got dot hero game stuff, whatever, is
they're not stuff, going, game stuff hero.
Yeah, they're not going, they're not in direct competition with the Zeldas that are going to be released. So I think that also kind of gives it a little bit of a pass, because it's not like we're doing this to capitalize on something that's popular now. And I mean, Darksiders, it's kind of up in the air, because I mean, that's, I don't think they're going
yeah,
for.
A, I guess that as, guess Dark as much as it's like kind of Zelda, a borderline one.
Well, I don't know, because Darksiders, as much as it's like Zelda, they didn't market it to like the same Zelda people. Like, it's not, it doesn't have that same feel. And the people that play Zelda, not necessarily all of them are going to play Darksiders or even be interested in it, because they like cutesy Link and wuss face and turning into a wolf and stuff. And I don't know, just. I don't mind Link at all or Zelda. I'm just mean that's just the way the character is. I mean, he's not exactly. You know, I don't know. I guess it could be all like subjective and personal opinion, really. But I think that's the reason why I think Darksiders gets a bit of a pass, and 3D dot game hero or whatever. I can always fuck that
up.
You
got it right that time, dude.
Are getting a pass, whereas Dante's Inferno never got a pass because it's directly gunning.
But I don't think it's getting a pass yet.
Who?
Like, what? We're just saying it's getting a pass.
I think it will.
Hero's definitely getting a pass.
You know what?
I think it will get a pass. It could be the exact same game. And I think it would get a pass.
Mm.
And it may not be from us, but it's going to get a pass because it's doing it on purpose.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's purposely
yeah.
saying, we are imitating Zelda, the original Zelda games, and we're putting it in this weird 3D stylistic graphics. And that's why it would get a pass, because it's blatant about it. It is literally saying, basically, this is Zelda. Have fun. That's really what I feel they're doing.
Do you think the recency factor has a thing to do with it as well, seeing that we haven't seen a game like this since?
Well, no, I think it
past?
Definitely does, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said, like, Nintendo's not going to touch it, so it's like, they're not going to make a game like that, and it's been so long that it's like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll just play something like that, and it's not really a big deal.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Nintendo's not going to do it. I mean, if they came out with a game, if it was called 3D.GameHero, and brought out a game like the same kind of graphic look, like on like 8-bit, but playing exactly like Twilight Princess, that might be a little bit of a different story.
I could see that.
I don't know. We have any more emails?
Yeah, we do. We do have one that kind of. I'm not really sure which direction Jay Hester is going with this one, but maybe you guys can help me out with it. He says, "Hey guys, Jay Hester here with a short answer to the question of the week. We like short answers. If you get the same feeling playing a game that's supposed to be an homage as you did playing with drugstore knockoff Star Wars toys, who wants to play with a video game equivalent of a repainted Buck Rogers instead of a Han Solo? You can pretend like you're having fun, but unless you're a kid, you'll just be lying to yourself. Thanks." So I'm kind of confused what
I think he kind of basically brushed it on what I was saying earlier, because when I play Dante's Inferno, I feel like I'm playing a downgraded version of God of War. But I never got that feeling about, like, Darksiders. I never felt like I was playing a downgraded or, technically or an upgraded Zelda. You know, I joke around and say this is the best Zelda game there is, but, you know, in reality, it's just, you know, every once in a while, you'll get that feeling, oh, you know, they did something similar to this in Zelda. But you don't feel like you're playing that the whole time. I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. So Darksiders is very much on the border, I think.
I think, you know what? I gotta throw in, cause I hate using, that we're using Dante's Inferno, and I got a couple more examples of good games. Because here's the deal. Could we consider, Dante's Inferno paying some respects to God of War? If the game was designed better and it was a better game?
I don't think the game is really that bad. Like, if you compare it to, like, the first God of War, like, in terms of, like, mechanics and the way it is, it does fine. Like, I think it's an average game, but the thing is they didn't improve on what God of War didn't do well. In fact, they did things worse.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's like, I think it's because they already did say, yeah, it's one of their big inspirations, but the thing is they're gunning for the same audience. So it's hard to pay homage to something when you're vying for people's money. And the same people's money that you're, the people that you're paying homage to were like saying, oh, they inspired us, but you know what? We want the same people who give them money to give us money instead. And I don't know.
See, and I think that that goes back to like the competition part of it, because in reality is, and I didn't really think about it at the time, but in reality is Darksiders in competition with any Zelda game?
No, no, it's
because you can only get it on, you can only get Zelda games on Nintendo's consoles, and Darksiders isn't out on Nintendo's consoles. However, Darksiders, not Darksiders, Dante is out on PS3, and it's in direct competition with God of War, this game that, and I don't know, maybe that, maybe that's one of the reasons it feels that way to me.
And why the hell would they put out, and it hurt, like in my eyes too, I think it was kind of a low blow to only have the Divine Edition on the PS3, and the reason they did that is to get people on the PS3 to buy.
To buy it instead of God of War.
Yeah.
Or with God of War coming out in the next month.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, really, that's a, that's blatant right there.
Yeah, but it's probably the best decision, the marketing decision they made throughout the entire campaign.
For sure, definitely. Like, I mean, it got me to buy it on PS3 over 360. And,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard. Like, it's hard to say. It's hard to be like walk to your friend like you haven't seen in a while, or whatever. You're like, hey, buddy, yeah, I totally respect you. Yeah, you're awesome. No, seriously, I looked up to you. I want to make all the same decisions as you. And then you go home and with his wife and banger. It's just. It's like, I don't know, it's like you're like, how do you do that?
That's an interesting analogy.
Well, it didn't quite come out the way I wanted it to in my head.
We can't stop talking about the boners today, I don't know what it is.
Got a boner.
Okay, now, you know, I'm now officially leaning to more, even with 3D.GameHeroes, me personally, I haven't played it yet, but the reason here, you know what, I'm not going to give it a pass. I still find it on the, and we keep on saying plagiarism, but of course we mean it loosely, of course we know literally it's not plagiarism, it's more, let's just say like more of a closer to a carbon copy type deal, because the reason I'm sticking to this, because I'm thinking of examples, and I'm looking for examples in my head, and I'm going to bring up this game to bring up another one, all right? But Shadow Complex.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right?
It's a good one to bring up.
Same situation as 3D.GameHeroes. They're taking a game, you know, from the Super Nintendo, you know, take it from that generation, and they pretty much made it a little prettier, but made the same game. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, since it's, you know, the recency factor is you know, two generations, you know, or you get a whole generation in between there. Of course, oh man, it's paying so much respect to Super Metroid and these Metroid games, you know, no, they are pretty much copying exactly what Metroid did. Yeah, they're adding a couple of little new features, but they are copying it. So, even though it's one of the best games, and again, a well-designed game. So now we think, okay, this is done really, really well. It's one of our games of the year, you know, nomination. Well, it was a game of the year for the 360 for
it
us.
It got two game of the
year.
Yeah, it got
so,
360 and downloadable.
And downloadable. So we all say, boom, paying crazy homage to the Metroid series, but it was a carbon copy of Super Metroid.
I can definitely see your point there.
So but that's again, why I'm saying I don't think 3D.GameHeroes is going to get the pass for me. Or it shouldn't.
I would look at it as bad. Same thing with 3D.GameHero. Applies to me with Shadow Complex. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be another side-scrolling Metroid game that's 2D. It's just not, unless maybe Nintendo will be like, oh shit, Shadow Complex actually sold well. People want this. Now we'll do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, hey, you know
would.
What? Yeah, same with Zelda. It'd be freaking awesome if they did like a new one, like a new set, throw it up on WiiWare or something like that. But it's the point now. It's been how many years since Super Metroid? I don't even. It's been
long time.
Forever. So they're like, you know what? We love Super Metroid. We need to make something like Super Metroid, whatever. Like do that because it's not. I'm gonna keep going back to it. It's not directly ripping them off to hurt Nintendo or to be like. To get a quick buck. They're making a game that was pretty much a gamble, really, outside of, like, DS. There hasn't really been any Metroidvania games for consoles, next to Symphony of the Night, I guess, but they're just kind of, like, bringing it back and being like, alright, well, and they were straight up about it, too. We're like, oh, yeah, Super Metroid's a huge influence in those, like, kind of Metroidvania games, and there's no other competition, really.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's kind of what I was going to say too, is that it's not, there's no reason for Nintendo to get upset about it because, well, I mean, I guess the issue is that it's not in direct competition because there's not, that game's only available on the 360. And you can't get a Metroid on the 360. You know, I definitely see your point. And I think if it was on a Nintendo console, it probably would get to the point where it was that borderline, you know, ridiculous level of, right. of homage.
If there was another Metroid, I'd say so. Yeah.
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 Because, I don't
know. Okay. Well, right
I'm trying here? To think of a good first person shooter, like one that's like, because they rip each other off all the time.
To me, that's really, really hard to.
It's really tough because there's like Modern Warfare and then you like Battlefield and there's going to be Medal of Honor coming out.
Yeah. I was going to say, what about Medal of Honor? It's going to be, you know, they basically put it in that direct competition with Call of Duty.
Yeah. I don't think very many first person shooters are good because that is really hard to find something that, you know, what, I mean. In the end, is it just going to all go back to Doom? I mean,
well, yeah, it's
in
yeah,
a way. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that's
first person shooters. Well, also, that's still a striving genre, though. There's definitely no lack of first person shooters out there, so they're automatically right off the beginning direct competition with each other. It's hard to pay homage to something that is still going strong,
right?
You know, it's like if you okay, let's put it this way: if you see a band that's playing, say, friggin', I don't know, you go to a band, like a bar, and there's like some band playing, and they sound a lot like a current band, it's always a bad thing. Well, these guys just sound like a crappier version of this band. But if you go to a bar, and it's like a tribute band, or a band that plays similar to something old, and that you haven't heard in a long time, it's like, this is some pretty cool shit. They must have really liked, like, the Beatles, because they sounded really like the Beatles.
Even if they do, like, a cover of another band, it's you know, it's a different feeling. You don't get that, oh, they sound exactly that, like
someone. Yeah, it's feeling. Not like they're just, like, a wannabe, like, friggin'... Look how many bands came out around the time when, what's that shitty band from here? Sum 41.
Oh. When I thought you were going to say Nickelback.
Well, that too, but I rag on Nickelback too much, and Scott will get angry.
My wife loves Nickelback.
Piss on Nickelback.
But okay, I'll use Nickelback as an example, because that is one that when they were, well, they still are kind of popular, but they're like really popular. There are so many bands that wanted to sound just like them, like playing locally at bars or whatnot. And it's basically just a shitty Nickelback ripoff, like whatever.
Well, look at how many bands tried to sound like Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Back
exactly.
in the 90s, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, during that era, there was a lot of that going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, and then come back, like, you know, fast forward 10 years, when you haven't really heard that sound for a while, and a band comes with that sounds like them, or reminds you of one of those bands, like, oh, this is cool, they sound like, you know, back whatever, and they're no longer labeled as ripoffs, because it's like, you forget about the first people that did it, and it's been so long, it's now kind of refreshing, and you're like, oh, finally, somebody brought this back.
So you think timing has a lot to do with it?
I think timing has a lot to do with it. Not necessarily to say, oh, it's been 2 years, like 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I think it all comes down to is the paying homage and, you know, paying a tribute to whatever game they're doing in a fashion that is not directly. I think the competition thing is a huge thing because it's just like, hey, this hasn't been done for a while. Let's throw it out there, and we'll be honest. We're ripping off Super Metroid, but you know what? There hasn't been a Super Metroid. That's why we're making this game. There hasn't been a Super Metroid 2. That's why we're doing it.
I'm glad you brought back Shadow Complex, because one of the points I was trying to get at, you know, we talked about Shadow Complex, Darksiders, 3D Dot Game Heroes, and the games that, you know, they have been, if anything, inspired by. All right. I don't see those as the best examples, and one of the greatest examples, and it was one of the first things I wrote down when we started talking about the feature, I wrote down Braid.
Okay, yeah.
And I think it's a perfect example of a game paying homage. And the game I'm talking about is how they pay homage to the original Super Mario. Of course, like, the normal gameplay seems very Mario-ish. It is kind of, you know, the way you kill, like, little Goomba character, you just jump on them and everything. But, you know, after you beat every chapter, you walk up against a castle, and the guy pops out and says, I'm sorry, but our princess is in another castle. And even the castle itself is very reminiscent to the old Mario castle. And it's just little subtleties right there. And I think, and that word I just said, I think sometimes the best way to pay homage is not throughout your entire game, but little subtleties here and there.
Yeah, well, because that does not feel like Mario at all.
No, not at all. And, you know, there's little things like that. Now, that's paying homage. that's showing respect to a game. Is adding those little, those little quirky little hints and everything like that. And I'm going to tell you, and we mentioned, you know, does quality help a game pay homage, you know, more? Because, you know, Darksiders, it wasn't my bag, but I can see how everybody liked it. It is a quality game. But I can see in some instances where maybe a not so quality game can pay a little homage to just everything, like Matt Hazard.
Yeah,
that game was trash. But man, they showed mad love. Like, even though sometimes they would joke on it, but they did it in a fashion to where they were just showing love to these games.
That's an obvious choice, though, to being paying homage for to plagiarism. They didn't plagiarize anything at all. Like, that was all their original stuff, minus like some of the jokes and references to video games, though.
Yeah.
So that's the exact. I would say that's one end of the spectrum, and then Dante's Inferno would be the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So, like, at what point, like, where's the point, though, where it's, so basically you're saying the clear point is basically the gameplay does not revolve around the games you're paying homage to. It's just basically the references you're making. And then the other side would be plagiarism, you're saying, would be anything that basically directly rips off the gameplay. It doesn't matter how they do it. Is that basically what you're saying? Like, that's how you
differentiate. We're on the same page, killer.
All right.
Without a doubt.
Killer.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Do we have any more emails?
This was a really tough
question. It is tough.
Question,
I mean,
in general. And I really think it's all based on the person. And I really think it's based on, you know, the way you feel about the game when you're playing it. And, like, you know, Travis, if you say that you think that you get the feeling of the 3D Zelda games when you're playing it and that's all you think about, then, you know, that's the way you feel about that game. And I think that's, you know, it's your opinion that it is on the borderline of being ridiculous.
Yeah. You know? But I didn't like the 3D Zeldas in the first place. So if Darksiders was paying homage or plagiarized, whatever the case may be, I'm not going to like it because it's similar. So
right. And I think that might also be a genre thing. So, but I mean, one of the things that I'm going to bring up is like, for instance, when Symphony of the Night came out, Symphony of the Night is my favorite game of all time, mm-hmm. right? When I played the game, I never ever got any feeling of Metroid at all. I honestly felt like I was just playing a Castlevania that felt completely different from any other Castlevania I had ever played. Yeah. However, now they call that genre the Metroidvania genre. So it's hard to deny that there's some homage being paid there.
Oh, there definitely is, for sure. And the difference is, though, again, is that's a good comparison, like, then to the Darksiders Zelda is now. Because they're structured very similar, like the same thing. You're going around looking for items, you can't get to certain areas before you get these certain items, you're backtracking, all that kind of stuff. But Symphony of the Night was totally different world, totally different, like, aesthetic and everything.
Totally different gameplay.
It was. But I mean, the same kind of thing with Darksiders, basically. It's like, I wouldn't say the gameplay is totally different, though, would you think?
There was enough there to make it different. It's, you know, you're not really, you're, well, for the biggest thing is that it's a melee thing versus shooting.
Versus shooting, yeah.
You know, that's one thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why Shadow Complex is always compared to Metroid as opposed to compared to
Castlevania.
Like Symphony of the Night or Castlevania. Yeah. So that's probably the biggest thing about the gameplay that makes it feel so different to me. And then, you know, having the ability to equip items and stuff at any point in time, you know, all the go back to what we talked about last week, all the RPG elements that they threw in there, it really made the gameplay completely. Yeah, it made the gameplay feel completely different to me. So
it created basically that's what created the genre is that game, because they're like, oh crap, we can do something similar but way different. So like, that's how the genre was basically like born.
Yeah.
So you know, I agree with that. Yeah. Do we have any more emails? Or are we just gonna wrap up here?
I got a voicemail.
Oh yeah, blow our eardrums out, dude. Give it to us.
Here we go.
Hey guys, Skynet here. First time calling in, been listening to your show for a few months now. Really enjoying it. So, homage versus plagiarism. I think it's a question of motive on the game developer. Somebody that's plagiarizing the game is doing it strictly, probably for a financial reason. obviously, you know, developers are in it for financial reasons anyways, but people that are doing it for homage are doing it to honor, kind of, you know, hold up this game that sets some sort of innovation. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to have that go on. You know, you guys bring up the point last week's episode that there's only six stories. Well, there's only so many good innovations in the world, and when you find one, it's okay to use it other places. The problem for me comes in when they're not checking for that permission from the original developer. You know, we've got a lot of stuff coming out here. Dante's Inferno is a big one that you guys have talked about. You know, they use those innovations. If it was really a problem with plagiarism, we'd be seeing lawsuits coming out on these types of things. And we don't see that happening. So either the developers that are developing the new games are checking for that permission, and they're telling them that this is because we like your system. It holds a place of honor among the system. Or it's, you know, not as big a deal as maybe we make out of it. So anyways, thanks for the good show. And by the way, White Knight Chronicles for the win.
Yeah!
Wait, who is that again?
Skynet. He's one of he plays on White Knights with us. So
cool. Thanks for the voicemail.
And he went right to kind of what Jeff was talking about.
Yeah, I agree exactly.
It's a financial issue at that point.
If they want to cash in on a good idea, like fucking what's it called? That game that it's made by a Japanese, I think Tecmo might be doing, I can't remember, the one that's totally ripping off Gears of War. It's the same mechanics of Gears of War.
Oh, what the hell is that?
Like,
name
that is, I can't
someone's
remember.
Someone's yelling at their podcast.
Yeah, Necro's yelling
at their
right
computer
now.
Right
like,
now.
But it looks like no one's played it yet. We haven't played it yet, but when you look at it, you're like, that is Gears of War. Like, that's what that is. And like, Skynet said, like, they're doing this to cash in on something that's popular. They're not doing it out of respect to be like, hey, you know what? We're gonna do something like this because we miss it and we like it. They're doing it. Yeah, it's popular. Let's throw it out there. Guns and cover system. Go. I mean, it could be argued, like, Uncharted gameplay mechanics.
Quantum Theory. That was it.
Quantum Theory, that's it.
Yes, thank you.
Uncharted's gameplay mechanics outside of the platforming is identical to Gears of War, down to the button. Like, to the way the cover's used, the buttons that you use, it's exactly the same. But, I mean, that you
the
can't...
The style personally, and everything is so different.
Yeah, you can't copyright mechanics. You just can't. Right. So, I mean, they can't. No one can sue anyone over any of that stuff, really, but...
I think there's enough different in that game that you don't really think about it when you're playing.
No, of course. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can't.
Especially when you throw in all the platforming stuff and things like that. I mean, there's enough to that game that allows it to stand on its own.
Yeah, every game would be labeled as plagiarism if it was...
Oh, no doubt.
That stuff, yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, no, I pretty much everything you said is, yeah, what I was going to... Well, what I said. Yeah, I agree.
I'm trying to think of other examples, and you know, I keep going back to like the earlier example I mentioned, where with like Newtopia and Zelda, and you know, if there's people out there that are curious about Newtopia, it's actually out on the Virtual Console, and you know, I would love to hear someone out there who's played Newtopia, you know, let me know how they feel about what I'm saying about it, because I really do think it's a huge ripoff. Mm-hmm. But,
I know we're coming towards the end of it, but I mean, can we kind of touch on, you know, games not necessarily paying homage to other games, but paying homage to film or things like that? Because I mean, unless we're still on the topic of, if we're only on the topic of games, you know, copying or paying.
I think there's situations where, you know, a game might rip off a concept of a movie. But
that's hard to directly say it ripped it off, though, when you're playing something as opposed to watching it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but like, you know, I don't know, Left 4 Dead example. Or something like that. Well, yeah, Left 4 Dead was a great example. You know, it pays complete homage to, you know, your zombie movie, your Knights of the Living Dead and everything, but also, what is that?
Dead Rising?
No, what, something days later? 28 days later?
Oh, 28 days
You know, later. It totally pays homage to that because, you know, Resident Evil, you know, always had their, you know, their slow zombies and everything. But, you know, this was the first game to really give us, like, the, you know, the zombies running for your ass. And, you know, no one really tackled that, whereas in 28 days later, no one really tackled that. You know, so, you know, we kind of... You know, we're just kind of sticking with the future games, you know, copying other games. But, I mean, I think that has some merit to it. That's something that could be touched on, you know. You know, maybe another day, but I don't know.
No, I agree. I mean, and you're going to see a lot of that across, you know, different genres of entertainment in general. I mean, you know, books to movies and books to games and that kind of thing too. So I guess it really just depends on, I still say it really depends on how you feel when you're playing the game. And, you know, it's like when I played Newtopia, I felt like I was playing The Legend of Zelda. I really did.
Mm-hmm. How long, like when Zelda came out, how far along was Newtopia?
Oh, damn.
Was it within like 5 years or something?
I really can't remember. I'll try and look it up, but,
Because right. Dawn of Zelda came out.
The TurboGrafx-16 came out. Around the time of the Genesis. So it was a significant number of steps ahead. But you also have to think about the fact that, you know, once the Super NES came out, they made another Zelda game that played just like that. So, yeah. I mean, it was, I played it. I beat it. I loved it. It was fun as hell, but it was a direct ripoff of Zelda. And I will happily admit that, you know, so I guess it really just, in my opinion, it's an issue of if you feel like you're playing the game that they're if it just feels like they've ripped it off completely, you know, and you know, with Newtopia and with Dante's Inferno, I definitely get that feeling.
All right. Travis, closing comments.
Fuck Darksiders.
Fuck you.
Yeah, and it's the way I look at it is the final, like, last word here is, as long as the game, I think the game gets a pass or fail in terms of pass being an homage, fail being plagiarism. Like Sam said, all games copy off other games. It's just the way it is. Like, it's just, any game could be labeled as plagiarism, not the direct kind of, like, stealing code and names and story. But can have that thing, but I think it's acceptable to me when it's done in good taste, when it's not, yeah, I said it a million times, not directly competing to what they're paying homage to.
Yeah, and I think your comment about, you know, about making a quick buck and like about it being a
cashing in
type thing, cashing in, I think that's a really good point, you know, and you know, it's a situation, and if you look at something like Shadow Complex, I mean, they actually, when they first started making it, they said that this game is probably going to be $20 or more. And then what did they do? They released it for $15. So it's obviously they're not trying to make a quick buck. And then they came out and said, yeah, we're basing this off of Metroid. Yeah. This is kind of an homage to Metroid. They came out and said it. And it's kind of the same with 3D Dot Game Heroes to me too. So
I agree. You know, like it is a direct ripoff, but I think it'll get a pass from the majority of people just cause. People have been pining for friggin' new
2D Metroids.
2D Metroids or 2D Zelda, like over the top Link to the Past, and now this is the closest thing they're gonna get. So it's like, hey, it's like they're paying tribute to Zelda. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Which it is. But I think that's yeah. Anywho, this is almost as bad as the friggin' not quite though. As the spiritual successor.
Spiritual successor.
Yeah.
Where none of us actually came to some place where we agreed.
Yeah.
I think we've had a few of those features.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let's get away from the topic then. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's do some new releases. I think I have a voicemail from Mr. Repeat. Let's listen to that now.
So if you weren't sick of RPGs in the last few weeks, there's yet another one coming out this week, but it looks to be a pretty good one. That's Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey for the DS. Now, this is based on the Etrian Odyssey engine, so it's a first-person dungeon crawler. We got the map displayed in second screen, although there's no map drawing in this, it's all auto-mapped. Yeah, it looks pretty good for the DS. It's also a mature title for the DS, which is kind of strange. And, yeah, the reason for it being mature is kind of weird. If you actually look at the ESRB descriptor, it's because you got demons which have boobs without nipples and or phallic-shaped heads. Yeah.
Fucking boners anyway, again. Jeez.
Could be kind of cool. His game room is coming out for the 360, which is going to mean there's going to be a flood of old 2600 ColecoVision television titles. Could be interesting. Seem a little bit pricey, especially if you start buying a lot of them, but it's probably worth checking out anyway.
All right. This is something. Did we talk about game room? At all?
I think it was a who gives a shit.
I think it was too. It's, man, game room is, I would be cool with it if the games that I had already bought I wouldn't have to buy again. That's really my biggest problem with it. All right. Anyway, total tangent. Let's fill in the gaps. For PS3, we're getting Just Cause 2 and How to Train Your Dragon, which I assume is based off the movie.
Pays homage to the book. No.
Yeah. But apparently not by much, though.
Not by much.
My wife has read all the books, and she says from what she's seen in the previews, it looks nothing alike. So we'll see how that works out. All right. So 360 is getting... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on PC already. PC's getting Just Cause 2 and The Settlers 7, Path to the Kingdom. Now 360 is going to be getting How to Train Your Dragon and Just Cause 2. The Wii is getting, Cave Story comes out for WiiWare. And then How to Train Your Dragon, Pizza Delivery Boy. God, really? Red Steel 2 is coming out next week. I didn't know that. And The Cage's Pro Style Battle Practice. Yeah, I don't care, nor do I know. Lots of stuff for DS, lots of stuff for DS. How to Train Your Dragon, Zuzu Pets, Shin Megami Tensei was mentioned, Dawn of Heroes, Bakugan Battle Trainer, American Test Kitchen, Let's Go Cooking, Let's Get Cooking, and the DSi LL comes out next week, or the XL, I think. And then WarioWare DIY. I'm not sure what the DIY stands for.
Do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Maybe. Maybe. That would make sense. But that's it. That's your new release list. So let's do Pick of the Week.
Who gives a shit? God of War 3's out.
God of War.
Grapple Gun the Game.
Just Cause 2?
Hell yeah.
Grapple Gun the Game.
If I was to pick up a game next week, it would probably be that one. But I'm not going to.
Yeah, me neither.
So I'm going to go with maybe Game Room, because it's free. I'm going to download it. Why not?
I'm going to go with Cave Story, actually.
All right.
Yeah. That's a good game. We'll go with that. That sounds good. All right. That was your new releases. So I'm going to pass it off to Travis for some emails.
All right, guys. Should we do the quick disclaimer then real quick?
Yeah, let's about do that. The emails? No, that's a good idea.
All right, great. Just in terms of, our shows are really going a little too long and everything, and we are spending a lot of time with the emails. So I think, Chris, Jeff, and I, we all decided that, we need to, not read every email because, just for the sake of time, so we can get these shows, going, running faster, I guess.
Yeah, back to our original goal was under 2 hours, and we've gone above that how many times?
Now we're over 33 and a half hours, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So that being said, we do still want to read everybody's email. So if we don't get to your email, the week of or the week that you sent your mail to us, we're planning on doing some mailbag episodes, every once in a while. It'll just take up the that week's feature and, we'll read, that week's emails and the past emails and everything. So,
exactly. So
we will eventually get to everybody. So if you send, a letter to us, the chances are, really good that we will, get to you. If not that week in time, we will definitely do it. We want to definitely take care of you guys because, you guys are the reason we do this. So we definitely do not want to leave anyone out. So, keep the emails coming by all means. But, if we don't get to you that week, we will get to you.
Yeah. To be honest, there's been a few emails that have never been read on the show, basically because we say we'll get back to them or we don't have time. And this is a way we can actually literally, for the most part, don't want to make too many promises, but that we can basically read everyone's at some point. And don't worry, it's not going to be like a, hey, 4 months has gone by, we're going to do a mailbag episode. Because it'll seem like we get a lot at that point, because we might have like 8 in total, but at least this time we'll have like 4 at the end of like a month or something. Be awesome.
So yeah. Yeah. We opened ourselves up to suggestions, and it was definitely one of the things that were brought to us, and we're open to everything, and it's something we're trying out, so. Hopefully it's for the better of the show.
Yeah. We'll give it a try, and if it doesn't work out, we'll figure something else out.
All right. Cool deal.
With that said, Travis, take it away, man.
All right. Our first one comes from Mr. Snickozilla. He says, I have a quick comment about your discussion about DRM from the last episode, episode 120. What's the difference between what Steam/Battle.net is doing and what Ubisoft is doing? They're the same thing. I don't understand why people That Steam is not, while people say Steam is not DRM, because it is. I can't play Modern Warfare 2 on my PC without Steam. If I install Steam, I will not be able to play Modern Warfare 2. On top of that, I can't sell Modern Warfare 2 because it's locked to my username. The DRM that Ubisoft was just dumb, whereas the DRM Steam uses is a lot more reasonable, but it's still DRM. Peace out, SnakeWazilla.
I have no disagreement with the fact that it is DRM to an extent. The biggest difference is that when you are not connected to the internet, you can still pull up Steam and play games with it.
Yeah, and then the only game that Ubisoft is doing that, you know, right now is Assassin's Creed 2, which is
I bet they will never do it again.
But it's
they are doing it again.
But the thing is,
the next game. Yeah, they said that. Like, is Splinter Cell PC as well?
I'm sure it'll come eventually.
Or is it just 360?
Yeah, it probably is. I'm not sure.
If it's a day and day, I just know that there is a thing. Whatever their next game is coming out on PC, is going to be doing the same thing that Assassin's Creed.
That's retarded.
No, but here's the deal. It's online DRM for a game that's strictly single player. That's the thing. But you can play Modern Warfare 2 single player if you're not hooked on Steam, though.
Right.
That's the difference. No,
that makes sense.
Steam still has to, the client still has to be running, I believe.
Well, Steam,
but you don't have
Steam
to be connected to the internet to play it.
No. To where, Steam is, like you said, Steam is DRM, but it's not an extreme, like, to me, that is the most, when DRM is already looked with in a bad light, for Ubisoft to create,
do something like that.
That's like, it's like, you think DRM can get no worse. Well, they did it.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know.
That's one step play. Well, that's like, the only worst thing I think of is having some Ubisoft representative come to your house when you want to play the game.
Where's
the disc? Show me the disc. Yeah, exactly.
This is what really confused me about that. All right. You know, the PC version came out. All right. $60. Full retail price, $10 more than 99% of all PC games. All right,
are we talking about Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, and this is what blows my mind about that.
Was that a $60 game?
It was a $60 game.
Fucking,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a $60 game on top of that, all right? On top of that, it already came out on, like a month prior, it already came out on PS3 and 360. So that cut some of that user base, all right, there. It's $10 more than most PC games. That's probably going to cut down on that user base. On top of that, you have the DRM, which is definitely going to cut down some, because, you know, PC gamers are tired of DRM as it is, especially something this extreme. And on top of that, it crashed the day the DRM server
actually crashed.
But here's the deal. You know, that was only
Europe?
No, it was just Europe.
Yeah.
Just
that's crazy. The fact that they're even thinking about doing it again is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, why?
And what happens when that DRM server crashes? Nobody can play the game.
So, and now my question is, so all that happened, all those things that I just mentioned happened, who the hell is in the country? I know some people will, but really, how many people are going to buy that game in the States when it comes out? I mean, how many people? Seriously.
No, everybody probably already has it for one of the consoles if they're really planning on playing it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. So, I mean,
I agree.
That blew my mind. So.
All right.
Cool. Thank you, SnakeZilla.
Cool.
Your game is in the mail.
We have another one from our buddy Biff Sticks.
Hey, I know him.
He says, hello, guys.
You say that for every single email, Chris.
Do I? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm never going to say it again, just so you know.
All right.
Yeah, I realized in the past, like my first like 5 or 6 episodes, I in between every email, I would say moving on, and I had to stop saying that because I was waiting for an end to stats, or he counted how many
moving on.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was like, yeah, I got to stop that because that's an end to stat waiting to happen. He says, again, Biff Stick says, hello, guys. I tried writing in a response to your question of the week, but my brain started hemorrhaging out my left ear. Then I tried writing a creative ad spot for the contest, and then the same thing happened, but to the right. So after sticking cotton in both my ears, you're left with some random questions. Sorry. Which video game character would you like to see as the opposite sex, and do you think that game would sell?
What? Okay.
Kratos? No,
I don't know. Well, she's
they already made that
so...
game. It's called Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, but she had a top on. Like, yeah, she didn't have a top. Like, I'm thinking, like costume and everything.
So if she was topless, it would have sold more?
Yeah.
Probably.
Actually,
is a good question.
Actually, I think a only if it's Old Snake. Only if it's Old Snake.
So it's going to be like an old woman, like the old, like what's her face?
Old oh, yeah, Snake. Dude. Older the berry, sweeter the juice, man. Isn't that the saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, I think Master Chief would be cool. Like if it was a chick.
When it comes to old chicks, I don't want to be thinking about juices, I'll tell you that much.
All right, Master Chief is a woman. Okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be
cool. Well, you're going to get a taste of that in Reach, aren't you? Or didn't they say that?
Yeah, there's a female. One of the Spartans is female in Reach.
All right. That's cool.
I'm trying to think of the one that would be like...
This is a tough one.
Let's come back to this one. All right.
This is a really random one. Have you ever bungee jumped or cliff dive before? And if not, would you?
Cliff diving, yes. Bungee jump, no.
Wait.
I have not done either, but I would bungee jump.
I would never bungee jump.
But you would cliff dive?
Yeah.
Like base jumping with a parachute?
No. Cliff dive isn't like I don't know what he's talking about with cliff diving. Like when I think of cliff diving, I think of like you go up like a cliff and you jump into water.
Okay, no, this is going on a cliff and jumping off the cliff with a parachute in your hand.
Wouldn't that just be base jumping?
Yeah, I guess. So yeah, base jumping.
The sea action. Okay,
that's what I got from it anyway. I don't know.
Did he say cliff diving or cliff jumping?
Have any of you bungeed or cliff jumped before? And if not, would you?
I don't know if I would cliff jump. I would bungee jump.
I'd probably have a better. I'd probably if I was forced to do one or the other, I'd probably do the cliff like the base jumping as opposed to the bungee jumping. I think.
Okay.
I wouldn't do either.
Wuss.
Yeah, I would rather not do either. But if I was forced to do one,
have either of you ever gone skydiving?
No.
Fuck that.
I've been parasailing and that scared the living piss out of me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is not natural. A human being should not be in.
Why
that
would
position.
You jump out of a perfectly good plane? No, actually, it was fun. It was pretty cool.
Oh, I'm sure it was. How long did it take you to clean your pants?
Oh no, you're falling so fast. It just like it just even if you're wearing pants, it like goes right through.
Yeah, it wasn't. Honestly, it was once you're out of the plane. It's you're scared for like a second and then it's adrenaline and you're just pumped the entire way down. It's really pretty cool.
Your heart explodes, you soil yourself. Sounds like a great time. But, yeah. I always thought I would want to skydive. I remember thinking, like, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. And then that became a big pussy. So
why do that when you can sit back, drink a beer, and play some video games?
Exactly. I could smash someone's face into a rock.
Yeah. I could tell a story yeah, like about
Athena!
The
rock. All right. What's next?
All right. And it's, hey, Jeff's brother, the big Necro.
Uh-oh.
He says, okay, so I wasn't going to write this and write this week.
Oh, man. Is this about God of War? Tell me it's
yes,
about
it
God
is.
Of War.
Let him, let, yeah, it is. It's
yeah.
Got to be.
Let him say it. Let him say it. But I think this will make it under the radar. So for those who don't know, I've been going off on Twitter this week about God of War 3, and Jeff and Chris were all like, explain yourself, fool. So I am explaining myself. Yes, I've given God of War
hold on. There's some backstory for people who don't know. Is back when Dante's Inferno came out, I picked it up.
He hated
day
on
one.
God of War so
he
much.
Hated on God of War big time, basically saying that Dante's Inferno was better in every single way. And I was like, well, that's fine, whatever. I don't know how you can say that, especially when he was comparing mechanics of the gameplay. He said he did not like the God of War universe, like basically the whole mythology thing. He didn't like whatsoever. And then he tried to say that Dice Venero had better combat and whatnot. But anyway, this is all happening on GLF, and there's like a big, not really argument, it's kind of like, okay, you're on crack, whatever, back and forth, whatever. And at this point, go on, Travis.
Okay, so Goffy and Necro's bromance aside, he continues on and says, so yes, I've given God of War shit before in the past, but mostly that was just to give shit to Jeff most of the time, since I think both of us just live to give each other a hard time. I think he finally admitted to being a troll.
Nice. maybe.
Now, I do have complaints about the combat, and I've always stuck by not liking some of the things that God of War does, like static camera angles and the evasion on the right stick. I kind of agree with him there. And I don't think the combat is quite up to snuff with, say, Ninja Gaiden or Bayonetta. Although, I must say, after starting Sunday and playing through all the God of War games up to 3, and now playing 3, the combat in the third one does seem to have evolved to the point where it's starting to get meaty enough that I would say it's close to rivaling the previously mentioned games. Also, Kratos. I still don't like the guy. Yes, he's a badass, no doubt about it, but come on, his dialogue is horrible, yet oddly, some rather memorable lines. But seriously, God of War 3 looks so damn pretty. If you own a PS3, if you own a PS3 and don't own this game, it should be a crime. On a side note, if anyone hasn't seen the Kevin Butler God of War 3 commercial, go to YouTube after finishing this wonderful episode of Indus. Of course, and watch it. It's damn funny.
It is damn hilarious. Funny. It's pretty damn hilarious.
All right, well, Necro, thanks for manning up and admitting you're trolling. But I mean, when you troll something like that, it looks bad on you, man. I mean, Dante's Inferno being that much better, and you said you like Dante better than Kratos, and Kratos has terrible dialogue. Did you play on mute or something at Dante's Inferno?
Right.
I think he says, "What's going on?" about 13 times in the first 3 chapters. Or no, I don't understand. That's it. I don't understand. Okay, well, dude, you're in hell. I don't understand. Well, you killed a lot of people, cheated on your wife.
Whoa, spoilers! Whoa, man. I'm definitely not going to play that.
I don't
bitch.
Understand. Lucifer! Actually, I don't even think he says that, but...
Let's say, what's the difference? My wife. It did. Zeus! Necro does have a point. Like, there really is not that much character development in, like, the...
Oh, God, no. It's, no, of course
I'm kind of hoping, like, toward the end of that game, like, something snaps in Kratos and he gets a little more interesting, but I seriously doubt that happens.
No, I don't think... He is what he is. You get what you get. He's a guy who's beating the crap and...
Yeah. He's definitely he's not a very interesting character, but the only time when you see any bit emotion of character out of Kratos at all is when, I can't really say it without spoiling it, but.
I mean, when he talks to the Forge guy.
No, I thought that was funny. There's that, and there's also, the little girl.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You kind of see a little bit of character in him with her.
He did for a second. Yeah. I just remember that happened really one time.
I'm wondering where that actually, see, the thing about it is that part, that's actually getting me interesting on what's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, besides all this, like, that's the one part of the story that I'm really, really interested to see what's going to happen. You know, and I don't want to say anything about it anymore about it without because you can't spoil it.
And as much as I'd love to talk about God of War 3 some more, we should probably
I know, right?
this is not going to be under 2 hours.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And on that note, that's pretty much all we're going to do today for emails. Okay. But that's all for me. All
right, cool. Let's do question of the week then.
Cool.
Next week is I
just want to finish up saying
God of War.
Good God of War and awesome Necro. Welcome to the you saw the light. Welcome to the world of good games.
Yeah. Welcome to the world of loving the best of both worlds. How about that?
Exactly.
What Jeff is really trying to say is lawyered. But we do love you, Necro.
Well said.
All right. So next week is our contest question of the week, and today is Thursday, and today I posted a second contest. that we will also be doing on the show next week. The first one is for the $20 Amazon gift card, and that contest was to name my beer and to make a little radio skit about it as well, like a little radio commercial. So that one is for the $20 Amazon gift card. The other contest that I just posted today is for a copy of the first No More Heroes for the Wii. And that contest is to give us your best original one-liner from a video game character of your choice. Now, this was a question that actually, this contest came to us via Navishin. He chose the prize and he chose the contest itself. So, the point is to take any video game character that you like, and to make an original one-liner. It can't be something he's already said in a game. He or she has already said in a game. So, take that, think about it, and, hopefully we'll get a bunch of one-liners from you guys too.
And what did you call, in the forum, what did you call this contest? What was it called?
March Contest the Deuce.
So you would say you dropped the deuce on everybody today.
That's right.
Nice.
Well, not yet. Not the big one anyway.
There's a bigger deuce coming later.
Oh. Mine was before the show.
Triceratops deuce. Sorry.
That's a big deuce.
All right, so you can answer the questions of the week by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. I wonder how we'll do that. You can send us a voicemail for the one-liner, that's for sure. As for the other contest, send it anyway. We'll work it out. The number is 706-760-4337.
Yeah, it's like, but it's not.
You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And you can also follow us individually as Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F.
M-G-C.
Can't wait.
Let's see. We also have a Facebook group that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. And I think that is it. Do you guys have anything else before we get the hell out of here?
I don't think so.
I'm ready to play more Boner Jams 3. Let's get on it.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you are on iTunes or Zune, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.